Listen up. The ratings just came in for last month. We are number one. We just grabbed every key demographic.
Super duper, Dave. Yeah. Super duper.
That's nice. Way to go. Neato, Dave.
Yes.
Boy, that is good news.
Do you feel blame? Are you mad? Do you feel like Woos Kebabs Rough Rennish? Get Freddy's Boots Boots Boots
Boots Boots Boots Boots Boots Boots Boots Boots.
Anyway, how is your sex life?
Cats are alright though. But every time I dated a chick, girls always would vomit cat stories. This girl I dated, she would just talk about her cat. She's like, you guys, listen to this story. This is so funny. This is so funny. You guys, once, Patches opened up the mini fridge and ate some of my grapes. I'm like, that's not a funny story. That's shut up. You know, I have a theory. It's like the more cats a girl has, the higher up they go on the Paula Abdul scale of delusional hysteria. I think that's an accurate barometer. This is Fluff Nut. There's Mystic Pizza. There's Jake Ryan. Jake Ryan's mad at me because I've been gone all day.
Recently, I was invited to a surprise birthday party. It was a surprise birthday party for a dog. That's right. I have friends that are mentally ill. I went. It was in my apartment building, and I needed the material. And to be fair, the dog was surprised. Didn't suspect a thing. Dog didn't know it was his birthday. The dog didn't know it had a birthday. The dog wasn't sure why people were in the apartment. It was the dog's third birthday, which in dog years doesn't matter. Someone made that up, and we just went along with it. Oh, 1 year equals seven for doggies? Okay. That's not fulfilling some dog need. You know, there's not a dog sitting in a bar right now going, I'm not three, I'm 21. I can legally drink. That's not how dogs keep track of time. If you have a dog, you know they don't keep track of time. You've left your home, forgotten something, walked back in, only to be greeted by your dog like you've just returned from war.
I like the Alaskan pipeline. I like the Alaskan pipeline.
That's right.
Well, there are white people from Minnesota, so hockey, fishing, skiing, sailing, and after a few drinks, put on a Prince album.
All right! Welcome to the Power Trip Morning Show. It's October 2nd of 2019. I'm Corey Cove. There's Chris Hockey. There's Hi. Sauce. And a semi-regular basis now on Wednesdays, Kevin McDermott's here. Hi, Kevin.
Morning, Corey.
Most Wednesdays you're here now.
I am.
Give or take.
When I'm not taking my wife on a birthday trip.
Right. Ooh. Where'd you guys go?
We went to New Mexico.
Oh, New Mexico.
For no reason at all other than we wanted to go.
Nice. Hadn't been there before?
Hadn't been there before.
And?
It was fantastic.
What'd you do?
We ate a lot of chilies.
Ooh.
Drank some beer.
The restaurant?
Yeah. The restaurant. The one that they have in the state.
Chilies. Wow, you went all the way to New Mexico for that?
Yeah. Cool.
Did you just, like, kennel your kid, or what'd you do with the kid?
Yeah, kennel.
Kennel? Zach Halverson's here. Hi, Zach.
Good morning, Corey.
Zach cool. didn't sleep at all last night?
Yeah, it was weird. It was weird.
Why?
I don't know. My head wouldn't stop thinking.
So,
did a lot of weird things. I started a diary.
Ooh, good thinking.
Figured that would help.
Could you read that to us?
I mean, it's...
But you started it last night during your insomnia, or
yes.
you just started it in life?
Like, a little before 3 a.m. in the morning, I wrote... I mean, it's a pretty good... I mean...
Oh, dude, that's a legit blog.
I mean, it was...
Wow. What did you write down? Just give us the bullet points.
A diary. Part of me wishes I would have kept one. but I doubt I would have been able to be consistent with it and would have ventured off into the world of Twitter and YouTube instead of taking the time to write words on here. And that's how it starts, and it goes in, it rambles. It's a rambling thing. But,
interesting.
So I did that. I paid for porn the first time.
Oh, what? Wow.
Wait, what?
I know what you're thinking. Why pay? But it kind of brings me back to when I paid for music for the first time.
Yeah.
After, like, you know, because I'm the LimeWire generation.
Yeah.
So I used to, like, steal music. So when I paid for the song, I felt like I earned that song.
Yeah, yeah.
And it felt like I earned it. So
you're supporting local business.
Correct.
Good for you.
Correct.
Where do
hey,
you
I got you on video.
Porn.
That is one of those, you know, webcam Brazzers. Sites things. Yeah.
Ooh. Okay.
Hey, I got you on video.
Was it worth the money?
I mean, think about it. For like $10.99, you get to go on there, and you get to be like the director of your own movie.
Oh, dirty. So you're actually bitch. Speaking to a live
yeah.
person.
You tell them what to do, and they do it, and it's amazing.
Wow.
You're the director.
It's basically my relationship with Sauce.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, all that, too. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We do all that.
Oh.
No, I just meant that I get to boss you around. It's not like I ask you to do weird things on cam.
Well, if you did, I probably would do it. Oh, quarterback of the Panthers.
Or Cam from Southern Charm for the second time this week. She came up. So hot.
Yeah, so hot.
So hot.
They talk about shows nobody ever watched.
Yeah, a lot of people watch.
Everybody. My wife watches it.
Right. So have you ever seen it? Just in passing?
Yeah, the girls on under very attractive.
Yeah, but specifically the blonde gal, Cameron.
Yeah.
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 Even hotter She's at 40 hot. Than she was at 22.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Like a fine wine.
Man, she is just getting better. Southern Charm. Hell of a show. Anywho.
Great show.
Oh, my God!
What a show today we have. Kevin McDermott's already here. Hi, Kevin. Mark Parrish, I talked to him yesterday. He is slated to return at 7 o'clock.
Been forever.
Oh, sweet.
So Mark will be back.
He passed away, remember?
Oh, yeah. How did he...
He's back, though.
What brought him back?
I don't know.
The Fargo Flash will be here to talk about his 4-0 Golden Gophers.
Yeah, super happy about that.
What's the record of the 4-win opponents?
Ooh, good question. The combined totals? Well, I think Purdue's 1-3, right?
I'll be glad to look
that I'd have to look the other three up, but I believe... I don't know. Not great. Not great, but you got to beat who's on the schedule, right, Kevin?
That's right.
Gotta
Illinois beat who's on this the schedule. Weekend.
Yeah, and they're giant favorites against another bad Illinois team, but that's fine. So Fargo Flash will be here to talk Golden Gopher football. Rosie will be here, 7:40-ish or so. And Jason Zucker later in the show, because the Wild debut tomorrow night.
That's right.
At Kevin McDermott's Nashville Predators.
Go hockey.
Okay.
Hi.
Oh, Chris?
Yeah. Hey, Corey.
We should make a wager.
Maybe. I'm in.
Care to gamble?
Yeah, let's do it.
Wow.
Which side are you on?
First game of the season?
First game of the season.
Which side are you on?
What's the line?
I mean, yeah, because I love the Wild, but I'm all about winning money.
Yeah.
I'll take the other team if it's the right
Gambling bet. Whales.
Yeah. Tomorrow night, right here in the fan.
Interesting. Hey, Court?
Yes, Chris.
I have a new button, but I feel like I need to run this by you before I use it often.
Mm-hmm.
You just tell me yes or no. Because I'm going to use this on you from time to time.
Okay.
Yes.
Sure.
Okay?
There's no way you're happy. You have two kids. Your wife is a disaster.
Brilliant.
Is that from the league?
Yeah.
Wait, so you're asking if I approve of you using that button on me?
Yes.
Duh.
In.
There's no way you're happy. You have two kids. Your wife is a disaster.
It's so brilliant.
Is that our guy, Jason, again?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I love, I can't get enough of him.
Yeah, he's super great.
Did you guys remember the movie Dirty Grandpa?
Yeah.
Never saw it, but I remember it.
Yeah, Robert De Niro and
Zac Efron.
Zac Efron. Just okay at best. But I'd forgotten that he's in that movie as he's a surf shop owner. And I think literally people just hire him for movies and just say, okay, you just do whatever you want.
Just yell at people.
Yeah, because Robert De Niro, which sounds ridiculous, and Zac Efron walk into a surf shop and they're looking for the owner and Jason walks in with a horse mask on and a gun. Okay. And this is what happens.
Oh, my God. You should see your faces. I just went out to grab lunch in a new horse mask. I left mine at the beach the other day. Woo! Gun's real, though. Man, relax. This is Florida. Everything's a licensed gun range.
You shot through the wall, man. Hey, there's pedestrians outside.
Yeah, again, it's Florida. These people don't matter.
What?
So, welcome to Tan Pam Surf Slam. What can I do for you, gentlemen? I'm Pam.
You're Pam?
Yeah, it's a nickname. Real name's Pamela.
He's brilliant. He's brilliant.
He's great.
Everything's a gun range.
These people don't matter.
Yeah. Sauce and I almost fanboyed him. We just, you know. And hey, that's that guy.
We were in Vegas, though, huh?
Yeah,
we saw him
at Aria.
Aria, yeah.
Chickened out and didn't fanboy.
I think
him.
Before or after, we saw one of the most depressing people we've ever seen in our entire life.
Yeah. Former World Series of Poker champion Huxley.
Was literally looking for change.
Yeah. Didn't look good.
That happens. Yeah, that does happen.
That's what gambling can do to you.
Yeah. You start staying up all night writing diaries. Yeah.
Thank God you gave it up, Corey.
Yeah, right. I gave it up. I don't want to be that depressed, right? I got two kids. My wife's a disaster.
Duh.
There's no way you're happy. You have two kids. Your wife is a disaster.
That's so good.
Not only do I approve of that, can you show me where that button is?
Yeah, I sure can.
I might need it on myself from time to time.
New Mexico, though, which is where you just were, Kevin.
Yeah.
And you said it was delicious.
We had a great time.
Yeah, yeah.
What city?
We went to Albuquerque for 2 days and then Santa Fe.
Did you take any... wrong turns in Albuquerque?
You know? No, because I didn't want to get broken bad.
Yeah, right. Well, right. Okay, all right. Well, okay. Yeah. All right, okay.
Zach, do you get the joke that Chris just did? Do you get the reference or not?
No.
I got the broken turn bad at Albuquerque?
No.
Do you get that joke, Kevin, or not?
No. I don't either. I don't think I get it either.
Really?
Yeah.
Kevin and Zach are younger. I get that. You really don't get that reference?
No.
Hmm.
Is it a movie?
It's a Bugs Bunny reference.
Right.
Oh.
I took a wrong turn in Albuquerque.
Oh.
He must have said that
84 times.
You guys weren't Bugs Bunny people?
Not Looney Tunes kids growing up?
I was more of a Roadrunner.
Tom and Jerry.
Yeah, Tom and Jerry.
I'm with Zach on that one.
Great. Tom and Jerry, don't get me wrong. Sweet. All-time classic, but I just can't believe he didn't.
Looney Tunes is just the best.
It's the best, you know. We're burying the top story. Saucy saw Joker last night.
Yes.
Yeah, I did.
Sauce actually texted me and invited me out.
What?
Said, do you want to go? You want to go watch a Joker movie right now? And I said, no, I got two kids. They got dance. My wife's a disaster.
There's no way you're happy. You have two kids. Your wife is a disaster.
Yeah.
Well, stop recording our phone conversation.
Code page 3.
Yeah.
Gonna need that. Yeah. Keep going.
I saw it last night. At Southdale, and I mean, I knew what to expect because obviously it's about the Joker, but like from the violence standpoint, I didn't know like if it would be like ultra violent. And but a half hour into it, I'm going, what's happening here? And then once it turns the corner from where he's Arthur Fleck, and then he basically becomes the Joker. Is one of the coolest transformations I've seen in film.
Hmm.
It's not just my opinion. Mm-hmm. And I was hoping that people that were sitting next to me who work here, Tina, the Rage, and then Ryan was there. It's the greatest acting performance I've ever seen in my entire life.
Huh.
And a bunch of people thought that. Joaquin Phoenix's character, the way he portrays that character is unbelievably good. You have to see it. I would bet money he wins an Academy Award for that performance. It's that good. When he fully becomes the Joker, look out. There's a scene in that movie where
So his name before he's the Joker is Arthur Fleck?
Yeah, and his mom, Phyllis Fleck.
Mm. So Phyllis's middle name might be Jean?
Yeah. Yeah. She's less crazy than he is. You got to see it, dude. There's a scene, Corey, like you talked about with It, where he, the Joker stumbles across a young boy, and you're going, whoa. Oh my God.
It's uncomfortable.
Oh, super uncomfortable. The whole movie, most of the, about the second half of the movie is extremely uncomfortable. You got to see it. You have That's to, awesome. Second you can see it, see it.
That's awesome.
You'll be blown away by how good the performance is.
So you think, based on what you just said, that it's better than Ledger?
It's way better than Ledger.
No.
Yes.
Yes. Ledger's not better. The movie that much.
Here's why it's better than Ledger and God rest his soul. If Ledger is still alive, we're going, yeah, it's great. It's an unbelievable, it's better than Ledger. I'm telling you. Go see it and let, whoa. It's better than Heath. The Joker is in it every Arthur and then whatever. His, Joaquin Phoenix is in it in almost every single scene.
And that's what Mr. Z said, is he doesn't remember an actor carrying a movie more than this. And Hockey, it's the whole movie.
Hockey's slightly right, and Hockey said it this morning, he hasn't seen it. It's a very, 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 very good performance. The movie's about a C+ B.
Oh, really?
So it's like that, yeah.
Do you think that has anything to do with the fact that the person who directed The Hangover and Road Trip is the director of this one?
Yeah, Todd Phillips.
No
yeah.
kidding. How about the last
2 or 3 days for him, though? Yeah. Did you see that?
Yeah,
he's getting hammered on on Twitter.
For what?
He basically said he used to make comedies,
yeah,
but now, based on the climate, he said comedies don't work anymore.
Oh, is this his like woke culture comment?
So so he said comedies don't work, so that's why he went to dramas. And comedians are just destroying him, saying, are you dumb?
And people
of course
are like,
they still work.
So we didn't laugh at Hangover 3, so now you made this?
Right.
Yeah, a lot of people.
Because Hangover 2 and 3 are two of the worst movies ever.
Hockey like both of them.
The first one is epic.
But yeah, go see it, awful. And you will go, yeah, for once in his GD life, Meat Sauce was right. Hmm. It's better than Heath Ledger, because Heath Ledger is in it for, what, 15 minutes? If that.
Right, and that is part of the charm of that film, is every time the Joker's on screen, you just can't take your eyes off him because he's so good.
That's a
dynamite.
And that's
why he won the Academy Award. Yeah,
that's a dynamite performance. Mm. But this is a...
So this is lead actor, of
this
course.
This is lead actor, A++. This, it doesn't matter what films are made, he'll win Best Actor. It's that good. Mm. It's the.
I'm so glad to hear it,
how skinny he gets and how uncomfortable
he is. Lost 50 pounds.
Oh, and there's a scene where he's dancing around and just his oversized, you know, underwear. And it's like, what in the world?
I actually have that
super skinny.
Scene
you do?
From this morning's prep, I think. Yeah, it's right here.
Yeah. And then the song.
Well, that's different than I expected.
Dude, the song they use. When he, like, when it's, here we are, this is the masterpiece that is the Joker. You have it in the system, right, Hawk?
I do.
The scene where he's walking down the stairs and the song that they use. Yep. Yeah. Some people call me
the space cowboy. Well, actually, this makes sense.
Yeah,
I love it. It's good. Good for Steve
Go
Miller.
Go see it immediately. Immediately. It's that good. It's not that long. I would go see it Friday if you want to go see it.
I will go see it with you.
All right.
Friday morning.
10:15.
Zach in?
I'm in.
Yeah. So you sat next to Tina and Ryan.
And Ryan and a couple other people.
What was the seating situation?
It was it was Ryan, then that Justine girl that we work with, me, Tina's friend Tom, and then Tina. I sat in the middle.
So you got stuck between Tom and Justine.
I was basically the fifth wheel.
Got it.
Yeah.
Well,
it's too bad.
Can you bring Muppet as your emotional support animal?
No, I thought about buying one of those vests because you can just buy them on Amazon and bringing her, but she'd bark.
Yeah, she'd poop.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be.
You were going to bring a
like
dog
movies.
In a vest to a movie?
No.
You're the psychopath. Forget Arthur Fleck.
And then I'm on my way home, listening to some tunes, jamming out, and I'm like, oh no, I don't have my wallet.
No.
So I drive back and imagine, like, all the, like, you know, there's a lot of people worried about the idiots in this movie. Imagine trying to get back into a movie theater to get my wallet. They're like, you can't come back in. I'm like, I don't have my wallet. They're like, you can't come back in. I'm like, I don't. My wallet is in that theater. I need my wallet. So then finally one of the bartender guys, because now they have a bar at the Southdale Theater, is like, yeah, you can come in. And then I found it. It was under my seat.
Good. Happy ending.
Yeah. that was when I got home. But I forgot.
I didn't. Let's go to break.
No, I got to tell you something why I now believe in ghosts. It's a true story.
Hockey,
get your typewriter ready for after.
Get my typewriter out. You can tell us after the break.
I have proof that ghosts exist.
Of all the idiots, in all the idiot villages, in all the idiot worlds, you stand alone, my friend.
Front Page Sports is next. The Power of Your Morning Show on the Fan. Ooh, baby, I sure show you a good time.
I'm a picker. I'm a grinner. I'm a lover. St. Paul, the Fan.
I like the Alaskan Pipeline.
Don't miss the laughs when Minnesota-grown superstar Nick Swartzen takes the stage for two shows at Treasure Island December 27th and 28th. You can win a free pair of tickets now by heading to KFAN.com. Make the keyword contest.
I love it.
Thanks, babe.
Man, it's freezing out there.
It's beautiful outside.
It's great,
Hogs.
Isn't it?
It's happening.
Isn't it great?
Dude, I saw Christmas stuff up at the mall yesterday.
Did you really?
Yeah, I went to the Galleria yesterday because it's across from Southdale Theater. Just a wander, and they had Christmas stuff up. Have you put your tree up yet?
No, maybe this weekend. My wife's gone. So it'll be up until she gets home.
Alright, let me state the obvious. I think the next 60 seconds of my life are going to be an absolute joke, but I would like Sauce to at least finish the tease about the ghost thing.
Oh, yeah.
He forgot. You forgot.
Yeah, I forgot.
Yeah, it must be compelling evidence if you forgot to tell us that you can prove that ghosts exist.
How did you forget about a real ghost?
Because it doesn't exist, because that's nonsense, because you're an adult.
You haven't heard the story yet,
you
Corey.
Don't know.
Just because you're miserable.
Yeah. Why is he miserable?
You don't think I'm happy? What, all of you?
Corey 3.
None of you think I'm happy?
I don't think
There's
you're happy.
There's no way you're happy. You have two kids. Your wife is a disaster.
So last night, after I had to go back to Southdale Theater to get my wallet, and then I'm driving home and I'm thinking about the movie and how, you know, great it was, and then I'm starting to think, well, what if I'm killed by him? What if he's at my place hiding, and then I get home and I'm killed by the Joker? I'm not kidding. I think about these things. And then before that movie,
you need help,
was like the Red Rum trailer or Night Sleepers or whatever, the Stephen King movie where the kid in the bike in the hotel goes back to Dr. the two Sleep. Girls who want to play those two things.
Mm-hmm.
That movie, yeah, Dr. Sleep, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm going, oh God, this is going to be a weird night. My condo's haunted. S is about to go down. So I'm like, all right, well, I'm 37 years old, and I keep telling myself there's never been a news report where somebody was killed by the Joker. So I'm like, okay, I'm fine. So I get up to my door of my palatial estate, and all of a sudden, I start hearing voices. And I'm not making this up.
Sounds like you heard voices the entire drive home.
Well, yeah, I did, yeah. Well, I talked back to him, but this is when you hear them out loud is when it gets real weird. And I'm going, oh my God, they're here. All of those people I just mentioned happen to be in my apartment. And then I lean in because I'm
who
like...
Who are all those people? The Joker?
Yeah.
And then who else?
The Red Rum kid, and then the two girls who want to play in the hallway. Those four have somehow formed some Avengers of horror people, and they're going to kill me in unison. So then I'm like, I can't go in there, but then I'm like, I got to get Muppet. Maybe they've taken Muppet. Maybe Muppet is now like on their team because of the things she's seen me do. So she wants me dead. So I put my ear up to the door. I'm terrified. I'm literally shaking when I walk up to the top of the stairs. I'm going, I'm going to die. This is how I die. I'm about to call hockey, tell them I'm not going to be there tomorrow because I'm going to be killed. It's going to be bad. I put my ear up to the door and I'm like, oh my God, that's my voice. My voice. I'm in the apartment. So then I start thinking it's like a beautiful mind thing, and my whole life's been made up, and all this is just not to be believed. So then I'm like, screw this.
I don't think you understood the point of that movie.
I'm going in fighting. I'm going in swinging. So I go down to my car, and I grab my ice scraper, and I have it in my hand. And I'm like, this is it.
Wait, hang on a second. You went all the way back down to your car.
It's like a flight, yeah. Yeah.
To get an ice scraper.
For a weapon. Yeah.
Because you heard your own voice?
My own voice. And then I'm not.
You need professional help.
And then I'm not making this up. Then I heard your voice, Corey. And then as I'm standing there, I go, oh, I left my Sonos on. It's just KFAN playing commercials.
You are a person I do not respect. The things you say, your actions, your methods and style, everything you would do, I would do it the opposite way.
So it wasn't any of them. It just happened to be the radio. I forgot to turn it off when I went home or before I left.
How you doing, Kevin?
Really good, Hockey. Do you believe in ghosts?
I do. I believe there's a possibility that they're true.
You ever seen one?
Maybe.
Tell me about it. It's got to be better than that story.
Yeah, it definitely is. I'll make it quick because I've told it on the air before, but we were, I was little. We lived in this this house that was, it had been a one-room schoolhouse, and they had put walls up. We were poor. But we came home from the movies, the drive-in theater, and we walked in, and there was a lady standing in the kitchen. She was wearing a white dress. She ran out of the kitchen. Because of the nature of the house, it was a circle. My bedroom was on the far end of the house, had a door on each side. One went into my mom and dad's bedroom, the other went into the bathroom. My dad went one way, my brother went the other way. They chased the lady. She went into my bedroom. I followed my dad in. They shut the doors to my bedroom. And then my dad yelled a few things, and then they opened the door, and there was nobody in there. And then the right beside me, the clock radio came on at that exact moment.
Mm.
That the clock radio thing absolutely happened. I know I can remember that happening. I was little, so that's my ghost story. That was a very freaky thing. The weirdest thing about being a poor country kid, though, is I slept in that bedroom that night. You know, I don't know. If that were to happen to me today, I wouldn't go near the house. I'd move into an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, I don't know. So that's my ghost story. I know it's hard to believe, but it happened to me.
I believe you, Hogs.
Do you have a ghost story?
No.
What about you, Zach?
A bunch of us buddies went up to an airport in the Wiper Lake area, and
Wiper Lake International.
Yes, yes, Wiper Lake International. Mm-hmm. And we went up and we're walking along this field.
Brilliant.
And there is a hangar up there with some lights, and they were just on, and it was supposedly haunted. So I called out. I said, "Hey, if there's anybody up there, turn those lights off." And about 5-10 seconds after, because I hadn't eventually turned around, but a couple of my buddies stayed looking, they started turning off and on, off and on, off and on. And so we all ran. We turned there the next night and watched. The lights were on the entire time we were there. They were just floodlights, but they just happened to start turning off and on at 2 o'clock in the morning after I prompted it to. So
see? What more do you need to know, Corey?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sold.
Yeah.
You got it.
Well, I mean, there's a TV show about it. So, Paranormal right. Hunters or whatever.
Yeah. Right. Ghost Hunters. It's got to be true. Ghost Adventures.
Yeah.
It's my favorite.
Hockey, have you seen the Ghost Hunters sad film?
No. That's a good point, though. I will do that after the show.
Erectoplasm?
Yeah. Some lady thinks the ghost is in this guy's garage. She needs to get it out.
Did she exercise it?
Oh, yeah, she did. Yeah, she tried. Yeah. Yeah, never mind. Yeah, it's good.
The NHL regular season opens up tonight. Ottawa at Toronto, Washington at St. Louis, Vancouver at Edmonton, and San Jose at Las Vegas. But the Wild open their regular season tomorrow night at Kevin McDermott's Nashville Predators right here on The Fan.
Go Preds.
Jason Zucker joins in a couple of hours.
But go Jason Zucker.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
He's great.
So, anyway.
Cool.
Zach, you're a big Wild guy. Your thoughts? How do you feel about this season? Because the optimism is just, eh.
No, there's not a lot of hype, which is fine.
Because it's mostly the same team. Right. That's why the level of optimism is subdued.
Chemistry, I think, is so important when it comes to hockey, and we'll see how this team meshes. Hopefully the leadership and everything gets this team together. And they, I mean, it's the great thing about hockey is anybody can win the cup. It's not always the most talented team. In fact, oftentimes it's not the most talented team that wins. I mean, we saw last year the best team in the regular season, Tampa Bay Lightning, set records in the regular season with points and lost. They got swept in the first round. So anything can happen. It's if there's one sport in particular that you shouldn't, you know, I guess, put so much on the hype train and just kind of enjoy it and hope that it ends well. This is what I think it'll be tough though. 13 of 18 to start on the road. You could be out of it before it even begins.
But meanwhile, our Russian kid, all he does is put up highlight videos.
Yeah, right?
Kirill Kiprusov is just.
Dang it.
Killing it.
Come here, man. I don't know what I got to do to get him over here, but I'll do anything.
Whoa. Duly noted.
I love it.
Wow. Yeah. Cash those tickets.
Timberwolves preseason opener is less than a week away, Chris. Tuesday at Phoenix.
Hell yes.
The Minnesota Timberwolves.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. They start playing on Tuesday.
Like a real game?
Oh, preseason.
Yeah, preseason, yeah. You going to watch it?
Yeah.
Hawk, how many games have you been to since you've lived in Minneapolis?
Timberwolves games.
Well, he went to that Warriors game, didn't he, a while back, Corey?
Yeah. I mean,
three.
Yeah, I was going to say it's got to be. It's not zero.
I saw Barkley play when I first moved here.
Way back in the day, sure.
I went once because Shaq was in town and I wanted to see how tall he was. Mm-hmm. Maybe two. Maybe just two. I really don't like basketball. I don't understand it.
You're so tall, though.
Yes, that's what it is. That's, I mean, that's the point. It seems easy to me.
Thursday night football tomorrow night. The Rams are at the Seahawks at 7:20. Both teams are 1-1. Of course, the Vikings don't play until Sunday when they take on the Giants in New York at noon right here on The Fan. The Vikings are 2-2. So are the Giants. But the Giants are 2-0. With Daniel Jones.
Danny Dimes.
The Vikings are 5-point favorites now. They're -240 on the money line. The Giants are +200. I'm a little surprised the Vikings are 5-point favorites, considering that the Vikings have struggled on the road, and the Giants are flawed, and they don't have Barkley, but they have a little moxie with Daniel Jones. I'm surprised the Vikings are 5-point picks.
He's a rookie quarterback against that defense.
That is a great point.
That's tough.
It's Kirk Cousins on the road. So far, it's been dicey. Right, this team they're just a different team on the road right now. I don't get it.
Yeah, but who, as I look right here, Daniel Jones has beat the Buccaneers and Washington. Both those teams are hideous.
The Buccaneers
55 up on the Rams.
Yeah,
maybe you're right. I don't know.
Hey, Kevin.
Yeah.
The headline defensively, the in Giants today's are Strib says the Vikings have moved on from Chicago loss. You've been in a million locker rooms, some of them on teams you actually paid for.
I try to sneak into locker rooms.
Yeah,
all
you
the
like
time.
That. He loves to do that.
Yeah, that's your thing.
Yeah. Have they really moved on?
You know, you tell yourself you have, and maybe you don't dwell on it in meetings, but it's hard to shake a loss entirely until you get back out on the field and play again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good.
At least emotionally.
Yeah. I like the honesty.
Yeah, well said.
Good job.
I don't know. If I had to be right, I would take the Giants and the 5 points.
I'll take the Vikings.
Ooh. Do we have some money on the line, yeah?
Sure. $50?
Sure.
All right.
Oh, wow. I like it.
Hogs, you want
it? Mark it down, no.
Book it, Power Drip Bets.
Book it.
Cool. Sweet.
That was fun. Wasn't that fun?
Gambling whale.
Yeah, I just felt it.
Think if we could do that here.
I mean, it would be nice.
Would wreck a lot of families, but
yeah, I'm not too worried about that.
Neither am I.
I mean, who the hell's happy anyway?
There's no way you're happy. You have two kids. Your wife is a disaster.
More of the Power Trip Morning Show after this on The Fan.
It's been 3 weeks since I am at your home. This sudden fear that's left me
The FAN.
I like the Alaskan Pipeline.
Well, good morning, everybody. Kevin McDermott is here, as is the one and only Zach Wild. We've got, of course, the regular cast of characters. Corey Cove, meets off Paul Lambert. My name is Chris Hockey. We've got a cast of thousands coming in today.
Big show on the Power Trip Morning Show.
Big show today. Yeah. I'm excited. Big Fargo Wednesday. Flash will be here to talk college football. We got Mark Rosen coming in. God knows what he'll talk about. Mark Parrish is making his triumphant return today. And Jason Zucker will be calling in as well to talk about tomorrow's opening game. A victory over Nashville.
Hey, watch it.
All right.
New song from Green Day coming out.
Is that right? About hockey?
Tonight, I think. They debut it on the NHL broadcast.
Ooh.
So.
Ooh.
So we talked about this yesterday.
Yes.
Right, that they were doing the song. And then some article I read again, they're trying super hard to make this the NHL's anthem. It's always dangerous when you tell somebody, hey, this is going to be our new anthem. Well, it would be better if it happened organically.
Yes.
But
right.
They're going to try to force it down our throats tonight. Right. Bar.
Yeah. On that topic, do you like the state of hockey anthem that they play at the Wild Games?
Well, no, but yes, right? I mean, brutal song. I think it's dumber than hell, but it's been tradition now for 20 years, so it's just fun because of tradition, but I don't think it's a good song or anything. I think the lyrics are dumber than hell.
I love it.
Well, yeah, that's the whole
point. I grew up with it as a kid. I got a CD for my birthday from Tregvi.
That sounds right.
And I put it in, plays that thing. The old one, I mean, the newer version's pretty good, too. Chris's version's pretty good, too. But
oh,
I like
yeah,
that
we
one.
Haven't heard that in a while. Will you play that, Hugs?
I don't know if it's still in the system.
It's under CM, I think.
For Common Man?
Yeah.
CM Murder.
Oh, yes. Charles.
Why, you hate it?
No, I actually really like it.
Thank you.
But you know what? It is something that, like, I looked up and I'm like, is this something that was here when the old Wild were here?
Yeah,
and
the North Stars.
and they're like, nope, yeah, we made it when the team came back.
Right.
I'm like, I wonder if people actually like that or not.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of, you know, forcing traditions, I wasn't sure that the Vikings fan base was going to adopt the Skull chant so quickly. But it was game one of U.S. Bank Stadium. They're like, this seems kind of fun. Right, and by the time game two rolled around, every season ticket holder understood it. They were into it. That was instant tradition, right? We're buying in. We like it. Let's do it.
One of the coolest things regarding the Skull chant that I saw was at the Blink-182 show a couple weeks ago, and they pull up a guy up to play guitar on All the Small Things, and they go, hey, what's your name? He goes, Andrew, where are you from? Green Bay. And this is the week of the Packer-Vikings game.
Ooh. Yeah.
Loud boos, this entire crowd, the X, booing them. And the next thing you know, it turns into everybody's doing the Skull chant.
Mm.
And I think that's the coolest part about it is you're seeing it like at road games, you know, they're doing, not recently, but when we're doing well, it's kind of a cool thing that everybody kind of breaks into, whether it be there, at Wild games, everywhere. It's a cool thing. I like it.
Skull chant's much better than Roll Out the Barrel. Yeah. Whatever that song the Packers sing in the third quarter.
I mean,
what?
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes the Skull chant breaks out at wherever John Creasel's at dinner.
This is Hootie.
It is, isn't it?
With a little love.
A stick and a pair of blades in the ice, we cut our teeth. We took our knocks in the penalty box. Our mother was a referee.
Yeah, who wrote this song?
I don't know who did.
John Denver.
Wow. Not the John Denver, a John Denver.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, I didn't know the words.
From Cambridge.
Until we did this, they're odd. But it's a sweet little song.
We will fight to the end. We will stand and defend our flag flying high and free. We were born the child of the strong and wild. In the state of heartbeat.
Great bridge, though.
A big blue line runs around our state. A line that can't be crossed. The day they try to take this game is the day the gloves come off.
Who's trying to take the game?
I don't know. Somebody tried to take it.
Yeah, somebody
did. Dallas,
Norm Green's receptionist.
That's right. They took it to Dallas, didn't they?
Jeez. Do Vikings fans miss Ragnar?
I don't think so.
That's the first time I thought about him since...
He got fired?
Yeah.
Oh, the motorcycle guy.
Yeah. Apparently not.
No.
Yeah, I think we've moved on.
Yep, we got a dragon that shoots fire sometime.
Well, not right now.
Yeah, not anymore.
Because Kevin's freaking Titans ruined it.
Man, what an inferno.
Yeah.
Way to go, Kevin.
Way to go.
Stupid.
You guys like money.
You know, I almost lost my hearing on a field once from those pyrotechnics.
Really?
Yeah.
How so?
We were playing at the Cowboys preseason game like 4 years ago. And, you know, it's halftime. I don't think that they're going to have pyrotechnics when they run out for halftime. I'm out there snapping, warming up before the start of the second half. And they had these boxes that started shooting off fireworks when the Cowboys ran back on the field. And I couldn't hear for the whole third quarter.
Yikes.
Wow.
Oh, my God, Kevin.
They were that loud?
Football. Well, when you're standing from me to you, they are.
I suppose.
That's hilarious. Jeez.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
You had some crazy injuries on the road.
You really have.
In the NFL. This will make you feel better, Kevin. Did you ever see the film Avatar?
Loved it.
Oh, you did?
See? I'm not the only one.
You know what? I saw...
No, you have to be the only
who
one.
Who is N'Tiri, the girl who's also in...
Yeah, the one from Mission Impossible that Tommy loves.
She is the green alien in...
Avengers.
Yeah, no, the Avengers and the...
Come on.
Zoe? Help me out here.
Zoe
Saldana?
Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Yeah. I saw her in New Mexico.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
She was staying in her hotel.
And?
Very attractive.
Did you talk to her?
Striking?
Nope.
She's still there.
She seems super cool.
Did you walk up and go,
"Hey, Dolly Parton"?
So you love Avatar. You're allowed to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
I love Avatar.
So I saw it in the theater. It was the first 3D movie I had seen. It blew me away, right? Thought it was super fun. Couldn't believe it.
So there were people that came out of that movie and were depressed because they didn't live in Pandora.
Mm.
Like, they had to go see their therapist because it's like life will never be as cool as the movie I just saw.
Lucy.
By the way, we here say that the Avatar world is called iHeartRadio.
I like it.
Not Pandora.
Hashtag iHeartRadio.
Now I get it.
Good one.
Well played.
Now I get it.
We don't like to bring that up. It's like Voldemort. Right?
Yeah.
It's like he who not be named. Whatever. Point is, I've thought every time I've seen it since, which I think is like twice, I think it's awful. But there's, what, four more coming out. James Cameron swang big. It worked. Did you see this story about Matt Damon yesterday?
Yeah. Matt Damon?
Matt Damon.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh,
yeah,
Matt Damon was in... do you have audio of this or not?
I do not.
Okay. Matt Damon was in GQ magazine getting interviewed for a bunch of other stuff. And he brought up that he was offered the role, the main role. Was it Sam Worthington? Was that his name?
Mm-hmm.
Sam Worthington's role in Avatar. And James Cameron said to Matt Damon, according to Matt Damon, "Look, I'm offering you this part, but I don't need you. No offense. I don't need a name for this movie. Like, this movie is going to be giant. I don't need an A-lister, but I really think you'd be good for it. So I'm offering it to you. If you turn it down, I'm going off the board. I'm not going to A-list chase. I'm going to go off the board, find somebody new. It's still going to be huge. But do you want it?" And Matt was on the fence, and he had the Bourne Identity franchise, and apparently there were some conflicts there. He didn't want to upset that track. So Cameron offers him 10% of the film.
Oh, my God.
You're kidding me.
If he takes it, and Damon turned it down.
Ugh.
That would have been the equivalent of $250 million.
Son of a bitch.
Oh,
gives me
Matt
like a panic attack.
Matt Damon said, quote, "I've left more money on the table than any actor, actually. But my kids are all eating. I'm doing okay."
Hmm.
Yeah, again, he went on to say he turned it down because it would have caused major problems for the Bourne ultimatum, and he just couldn't work it in.
Is that lady his agent?
Oh, my Lord.
Man. I've never seen it, and I've never had any desire to see it. I don't know what it's about. I don't know. I have no desire to see it.
The stuff at Disney World, Florida, because now they have a big Avatar section, it's sick.
Unbelievable.
It's super, super
never cool. iHeartRadio World.
Yes. iHeartRadio World down in Disney World.
Oh,
but super cool.
You know what you should do? Because I didn't see Batman Begins before The Dark Knight Rises. I ended up watching the trilogy in theaters. I'm assuming that when the sequel comes out, they're probably going to do a back-to-back kind of thing in theaters. You should watch it. If you do watch it on the big screen.
So
that I 100% agree with in 3D if possible.
Do you like it because hockey likes it?
I don't. Well, wait. What do you like about it, Chris?
I like the whole idea of it. I thought it was a pretty good concept.
I like the concept of it. I mean, you know, it was. I actually, to be fair, I don't love it, I liked it enough to be entertained, and I'm not totally excited about number two, but.
I get excited about number two.
So does your dad.
$250 million for Matt Damon. Man. Whoops. What do you think he's worth?
Matt Damon?
Yeah.
$134.
I mean.
It's a good guess.
Did you look it up?
I'm pretty sure he owned a lot of the rights of Good Will Hunting. So.
Yeah. Oh, good point. He probably made a ton of money doing Bourne.
Oh.
And he was in the Ocean's 11.
I got the answer. You guys want to guess?
Yeah.
75.
110.
I'll say 220.
Chris?
13.
13?
Yeah.
170.
170.
Why is he worth 13? Did he buy a cabin?
Yeah. What really matters is next. I'll do scores and stats around the world of sports. And Chris will tell you something interesting that has nothing to do with sports.
I've got some interesting stuff for you today.
Is that right?
That's right.
Ash Joy. KFAN.
Hey, good morning, everybody. You know, I can't say it enough. And this is not a paid endorsement. And if you do not have this, Kevin, I encourage you to do it. I just love the Ring doorbell alarm thing.
Yes,
I just
sir.
Love it, man.
I have it.
Aren't they great?
They're awesome.
I just watched Abigail leave for school just now. And I watched her walk all the way down our street to the bus stop. I mean, it's just the best, right? Whenever somebody comes to your door to drop a package off, or for whatever reason, you get an alert on your phone, and it's like you tune in and you watch whoever's at your door.
Or again, think about it like this. If you never want to have human interaction,
yeah.
Then you can only interact with the people that you care about. So when the Ring doorbell goes off, you can say, I don't want to deal with that person. I don't want to be converted.
Leave me alone, Sauce.
Right, so then you just stay in your basement.
Yeah.
Why are you still here, Meat Sauce?
The best.
Yeah, I couldn't like it more than I do. What a great invention. What a great time to be alive.
It's great to spy.
Yeah.
Right, on other people.
Yeah, and I also like to look at when people in my neighborhood put up, hey, who's this person rummaging around in my mailbox? Do you guys get those alerts too on your phone?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you're looking.
Every neighborhood has one crazy person.
Yeah, yeah.
That posts everything that ever happens to everyone.
But that's okay. I'd rather have that.
Hockey. Like,
yeah.
I need to ask something though.
Yeah,
you have a Ring doorbell.
I do.
Please tell me that your password for your app isn't 1234.
Oh, it's not.
Okay, good.
You want me to tell you what it is?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's password.
Well,
one.
We'll talk about that off the air. I do want to spy in on your house, but I, you know, the people who have easy passwords for stuff where it's like, oh, you know what, a hacker could watch your family.
Yeah.
Like, put a little effort in.
That's a great point.
Yeah, it's way too easy to get into these cameras.
Make a password that. Is going to take someone longer than 5 minutes to hack
into. Password one, you know.
I have a buddy of mine, and I'm not making this up. He changes his password every other day for everything.
That's smart.
He's that paranoid.
That's insanity. That's insanity, though. That's over the top.
However, the opposite argument to that is they've done studies on it, and they do it at this company here where we got to change our password every 6 months. They say that's less safe because people tend to make their passwords easier if they have to change them every 6 months, as opposed to making one very solid, hard one to crack forever.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. You're not remembering them.
He changes them all the time.
Hey, Corey.
Yes, Chris.
To your original point, though, I was just looking through the neighborhood alerts, and somebody filmed a cat walking across their front porch, and it says, roaming cat, gray, and possibly pregnant.
What? Jesus.
Congratulations.
What a rude thing to say.
And I'm like,
how do they know it's pregnant?
Well, it looks like it, but I guess they were worried that maybe somebody was missing their cat.
Oh.
But you're right. I mean,
you also get to find out who's racist in your neighborhood, right? Because then they'll post somebody like, have you seen this shady character? It's like, that's just a guy.
Yeah.
Unless
calm
he's
down.
Digging through your bushes or something.
Right. He's just walking. I've never seen him.
Yep.
Sounds like you're racially profiling, ma'am.
Mark!
Hold on. Ah, crap. I can't find... I've done it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, God. What happened to that?
I don't know where it went. Yeah.
Is it in Rosie Bites?
Yeah, I'm looking right now. It's not in there. I don't know. Anyway.
Oh, boy. That's weird.
What?
Ad. For Ring what? Doorbell.
Are you kidding me? On your Facebook right now?
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
It's always listening, man.
Yeah. Turn that microphone off.
Yeah. Get off the grid. It's time for What Really Matters. I read scores and stats around the world of sports, and Chris will change your life with something else.
Good morning, Jessica.
The Twins and Yankees, Game 1, Friday, 6:07. Game 2, Saturday at 4:07. Those two games are in New York City. Then Game 3, Monday at Target Field. Game 4, if necessary, Tuesday, Target Field.
I really did think about going to Yankee Stadium on Saturday because we get in, early afternoon.
Yeah.
It's way too expensive.
And do you really care?
Yeah, I don't really care that much. Thing, but yeah, I've never been to Yankee Stadium.
Here's the thing. You know a guy.
Yeah, no, I know. But I don't want to call in a favor for that.
No, not that. Like, you know a guy where you, not for free, you'll pay face value.
Right.
You and I know the same guy.
No, I understand.
You'd pay
for it,
obviously.
Yeah, I know. I just don't. I don't know. I don't know if I care that much.
It. And are you going to go to a play?
I might.
I was going to say, every single time the Vikings go to New York, you go do something awesome.
Yeah, I do.
You did the Bruce Springsteen play last year.
I did. That's exactly right. Good memory.
Yeah. Even though you weren't going to spend the money, and I, of all people, talked you into it.
Yeah, you did.
Good for you, Sas.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. Nice job. Thank you.
It was one of my great moments. Though, is this.
Alaska is home to a type of frog that allows itself to freeze every year. It's called the wood frog. It turns 2/3 of its body water into ice, and then in the spring, it thaws right out. Keeps on hopping. There it is right there.
Yeah. Hey, frog.
Kermit D. Frog here. Freeze on.
Kermit D. Frog.
That's your Kermit impression? Try that again, please.
No, I don't. It was magic. I can't just do it again.
It was magic.
Thank you.
Kermit D. Frog.
Yeah. It's Kermit the Frog's cousin.
Oh, okay. Also bangs pigs.
Yeah.
He's really gross. Something in common.
What do you think about it?
Last call.
Brilliant. Well played.
The Wild open their regular season tomorrow night at Nashville. What really matters is this.
The most prolific mom of all time was Fyodor Vasilyev.
That sounds like a dude's name.
What?
Fyodor?
Fyodor Vasilyev. She had 69 children.
That a girl.
She gave birth to 16 pairs of twins, 7 sets of triplets, and 4 sets of quadruplets.
Jesus.
Come on.
It's
talk
the truth.
Look it up.
Fyodor Vasilyev.
I don't know how to spell that.
Fyodor Vasilyev.
69?
Right. She lived in Russia from 1707 to 1782.
Oh, boy.
Wait, she survived 69 childbirths?
That's right.
Wait. In the 1700s?
She's a mother.
Yeah, thank you, Peach.
You talking to yourself over there?
No, that's his name as well.
She's a mother. Little nidbits.
Yeah, 69 of them.
Ugh. Jeez, yeah, Kevin, that's the most amazing. Like, in today, and obviously I don't understand modern medicine, but you could do it today.
Your modern ways.
Yeah. But in the 1700s, when you're like, oh, I have the flu, well, boom, you're dead.
It's like the oldest woman in the village just, you know, like, oh, she can come deliver the baby. She's lasted this long.
Yeah.
Ugh. Gross.
I do think it's weird that you think that it's easy to have 69 kids in 2019.
Well, I'm not saying
we could figure it out.
I'm not saying it's easy, but you have the, like, you know, back in, this is just a guess, but back in, like, those times, it's like, we're losing her! And, well, we have no paddles, buddy. Those aren't invented yet. We can't get her heart going again.
And the guy walks up from the boat and says, I've got 2 paddles right here. What are you going to do, beat the hell out of her?
Yeah, right. Yeah, because one of the birds is obviously on a canoe. They're just out canoeing. She's like, oh, here comes another one.
Yep, there's the little man.
Yeah, obviously.
Just saying. Be way easier now. Not saying childbirth is easy, but I'm saying now it'd be easier than it would be then.
Way easier now.
Yeah, thank you, Zach.
We got medicine.
Yeah. Doctors.
Paddles. Paddles.
Pedals.
Yep.
They have pedals, too.
Yep. Commonly happens during childbirth.
Stirrups.
They have to shock you back to life.
Maybe. Back then, it must
be. The Washington Nationals won 4-3 over the Drunken Scotties. And the Drunken Scotties led 3-0. They had a late 3-1 lead, but three runs in the bottom of the eighth for Washington gives the Washington Nationals the win. They move on. The Drunken Scotties go home and, I don't know, probably drink more beer.
Poor Gerlar.
No.
Yeah, Gerlar and Merlar are pissed. No,
Garlar and Marlar.
And teaser.
No, no, no. Garlar and Marlar are huge Brewer fans.
Right.
I think Marlar went to like 70 games last year. Teaser isn't a person. It's Beezer.
Who in the hell is Garlar and Marlar?
Exactly.
My cousin.
What really matters is this.
Your ears still pick up sound after you die, but every muscle in your body relaxes at the time of death. Including those, yes, of your bowels. Sometimes resulting in a final bowel movement post-death.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, oh, boy. As if that job wasn't disgusting enough. You're going to have to deal with my feces.
I think that's crap.
Because God knows I probably am going to die of a heart attack after eating a giant meal.
Yeah. You're going to have a lot to get rid of.
Yes.
Yeah, because you'll still be eating Fiber One bars at that point.
My last words are going to be, finally, I'm not bloated.
Paul, how would you guess you're going to die? What's your guess? If you had to be right and win money.
Like if there was like a betting board and like
prop bet.
Top point. Thing on there.
Airplane crash.
Heart attack. Heart attack.
Heart attack?
Yeah.
What's number two?
Killed by supernatural powers. I think a heart attack would be one. Then, yeah, probably airplane crash. And then three would be off the board, would have just be called his stupidity.
Darwin Award.
Yeah, yeah, that.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Corey?
Oh, well, can't say it on the air.
Yeah, he's going to definitely hang himself and masturbate.
Yeah, he's definitely going to choke.
I would just, let me just say this again. If I wind up dead anytime soon. somebody please investigate my wife because she probably did it.
Oh, yeah,
she probably did it.
Yeah, and then after you, yeah,
I mean,
she'll react like the Joker did.
There's no way you're happy. You have two kids, your wife is a disaster.
Is it my turn or your turn?
I believe it's your turn, sir.
We do have another game. I'll play a one-game playoff today in Major League Baseball. Yesterday was the Drunken Scotties in Washington. Tonight, it's the Rays and the A's in Oakland at 7 o'clock. Morton versus Sean Manea?
Yeah,
I don't know how to say his name. That's tonight at 7 o'clock. Rays and A's. What really matters is this.
I'll take some Rays and A's over easy, please.
Hell yeah.
Get some Raising Cane's right now.
Oh, God, that'd be great, too.
Yeah, that would be great.
Oh, I'm so hungry all the time.
What would you pay for a cheeseburger?
$74,000.
Jesus.
Holy cow. What if the Tampa Bay Rays moved wherever the hell the Carolina Hurricanes play?
Yeah.
And it was just the Rays and Canes.
Oh, that'd be pretty great.
You would have to have Raising Canes have the naming rights to both facilities, right? Like Target has everything here in the Twin Cities.
Hockey, when I was in New Mexico, I had Whataburger.
Oh.
Not as good as In-N-Out.
No, but still very
solid,
good.
But very good.
Very,
however,
very good.
There's another joint there called Lada Burger, only in New Mexico.
Oh.
And it's like In-N-Out, but they put Hatch chilies on the burger.
Oh, my God. You can't have that.
A-plus?
No way.
A-plus.
That'd burn my face off.
It wouldn't only burn your face.
It's the best burger you've ever had, Kevin. Fast food or sit-down restaurant.
Parlor Burger in North Loop.
Correct.
Parlor Burger.
No kidding.
In North Loop.
Yeah, it's the best burger I've ever had.
Really?
Really?
Sauce, no, you agree?
Hands down. 100%.
It's that good?
Yeah, that.
Never even heard of it.
Yeah, that burger and then, that's probably it. It's mouth-watering how good it is. The first time I had it, I was like, oh, yeah, this is that place because you don't even know it. Then it's the best burger I've ever had.
What do you
mean
you don't know it?
Because it doesn't stick out. Like, it's in the North Loop, but you wouldn't know it's there. It's that kind of bit.
It's in a basement under Burrow.
Yeah.
The restaurant on Washington, and it's dangerous. I can look out of the balcony of my apartment and see if there are empty seats at the outdoor tables. And so it's hey, honey, there's an open table. You want to go?
Mm. Hell yeah.
We should go. You throw the kid in the kennel and you go.
Yeah, it's really good.
Man. I went to, what's the place that brought us food that sponsored the podcast?
Oh, Rock Elm?
Man, so good.
Yeah that dude, food whales.
They have giant pretzels. Have you had one of the giant pretzels? Oh, my gosh.
I want one of those right now.
Dude, it's as big as the plate. It's a giant pretzel.
Have you guys gotten the podcast raise yet?
Just why do you want to go there?
Certainly not.
Researchers suspect that fish communicate through the noise of their farts.
Trey Anastasio, the band?
That's right. Fish communicate through the noise of their farts. Here comes a bluegill.
Yeah. Hey, Pete, what's up, man? Good to see you.
Here comes a sunny.
Oh, God, here comes Paul's wife. Oh, no. What does she have to say?
Wrong button.
What the hell was that? What on earth was that?
I was like, I don't get this bit.
Yeah, I don't either. She's beating somebody up?
Chris's comedy sometimes is just...
That's over your head.
Yeah,
all right?
It's ahead of its time. I don't get it. Yeah. But your kids are going to love it.
Oh. Definitely... Definitely not Corey.
What? I don't get, I'm not getting any of these jokes.
What does that even mean?
Oh, I get it now. Okay, I get it. I didn't get it until he just did that hand gesture. Yeah. I get it now.
Play that one. Play the other one.
I get it.
I love that we needed a sauce visual aid.
Exactly. I love it. It's funny with the visual.
Are there Kugels for the butthole?
Kugels?
Give me Kegels.
The snacks you put on your finger to pretend you're Freddy Krueger?
They're Kugels.
Hey, look at my Kugels. Man, look at that. Man. Oh, Jesus.
Who's calling on that line?
Probably the FCC.
Major fines.
It's probably Fargo Flash. All right. Mark Parrish should be here shortly. Fargo Flash to talk Gopher football. Kevin McDermott is here. Rosie around the corner. Jason Zucker later in the show. We're stacked and packed. We got Pete Davidson tickets to give away later. Lots going on. Power Trip Money Show on the Fan back after this.
Good morning, everybody. It's the Power Trip Morning Show. Thank you for tuning in. Kevin McDermott, thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Hawk.
Yeah, for sure. We got a big, big hour ahead of us here. We got the Fargo Flash is coming in. We've got, of course, Mark Parrish any moment now will be in as well. In the 8 o'clock hour, we've got Mark Rosen, and we will talk to Jason Zucker down the line on the telephono.
Also sent out the bat signal to Tina Rage to either get verification on the Joker performance. Or we'll see if she thinks Sauce is overhyping it.
Just tell her there's food here.
Oh, good point.
Yeah.
Oh, free food, by the way.
Yeah. Whoa, look at all this canes.
Oh, look at all the canes and donuts and whatnot.
Unbelievable.
What a burger shipped in from Texas.
Absolutely. What a wow.
And her and AJ are here.
Yep,
okay,
they're here.
Got it. Yep.
Starving.
We've always said, you know, whenever we put free food out or free food comes here, the vultures that are the sales staff... All of a sudden, you haven't talked to them in 6 months, right? And they're right outside of our studio going, I was just checking out on the show. How are you guys doing? Everybody doing good on the show? Yeah. You're just here for the food. We get it. Just don't fake it. Just have the food and leave.
And then, yeah.
But even though the vultures are the vultures, the two people in this building that like free food the most, and it's not even close.
Not even close.
Tina and AJ.
They love it.
Yeah. AJ's sometimes here before the food gets here.
Right, if he just knows it's going to be here.
Yeah.
I don't blame him.
And Tina doesn't even get told. She just has this weird sixth sense, like, I don't know.
I see free food.
I felt like
everywhere.
Free food hadn't been dropped off in a while, so I just kind of thought today was the day, and Canes is here. It's like, get lost.
Yeah, that's right.
So anyway, before all of that, the news.
That's right.
This is KFAN News with Chris Hockey.
Thank you. I'm a hardcore news journalist, and I am bringing you the news. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning.
Swimmers, cyclists, and track athletes be coming to Minneapolis in June 2020 for the Paralympics trials. The trials will determine who gets to represent the United States in the 2020 Paralympics in Tokyo. So that's cool. They're bringing some business and some sports to Minneapolis. Good to hear. That's a cool announcement. Mm-hmm. Governor Walz says he's willing to consider legislation that would allow college athletes in Minnesota to hire agents and make money off endorsements.
Your state, California, or kind of your state, right?
I went to college.
Your second state. They're on board. Your thoughts?
I love it.
You do?
Yeah. I mean, it's not like they're saying, hey, we're going to pay you. This is what it allows students to do. You have a game-worn jersey, you can sell it. You want to give, like, lessons in, you know, long snapping to a high school kid, you can get paid for that. You want to, like, make an appearance at a local bar down the street and get paid $100 to show up? Awesome.
Good.
You should be able to make money off of your likeness, right? Because, like, when I was in school, there was the NCAA football game. They just put our likenesses out there, and we saw none of that money. Now, I wouldn't have seen any of the money anyways because I was a nobody. Mm-hmm. But if you're Reggie Bush at USC, USC made a lot of money off of him without ever paying him a dime.
What's the downside with people that are against this? What's the counter argument?
The downside is that it upsets the balance of the NCAA, and then it eventually leads to players getting paid. But if the NCAA embraces it and stops it there, I don't think that it'll go to actual payment to players. Because the issue is there's such an imbalance between like UCLA's water polo players and UCLA's men's basketball team. Right? You can't pay them the same amount of money because they don't bring in the same amount of money to the university. And so paying players becomes an issue, but people should be able to make money off of their likeness.
Is there any concern, though, that the schools that have the deepest pockets now can essentially buy recruits? Because you could have that appearance down the street at the restaurant, right? You just threw out a number, $100, just to throw out a number. But my guess is if you're a five-star quarterback, one of my questions, if this is going to be a national bid where you can get paid, or, by the way, or if it's only in a handful of states, clearly if you're that five-star guy, you say, well, I'm going to a state where I'm going to get paid. So that's step number one. And number two is, who's got the deepest pockets? If I'm a recruit, I'm asking the coach, what's a standard appearance fee looking like for me if I go to your school? That's one of my first questions.
Well, I think that in the current landscape, it still matters like where you're going and how much you'll get paid, because I do think that there are players out there who are on the take. So, you know, if you're thinking like, oh, you know, the players are only going to go to Ohio State and Michigan and Florida, well, they kind of go there now anyways, so it doesn't really matter.
True, but now I'm saying now it's an actual bidding war, right? Now, because now you could legally say, instead of under the table, hey, how much are you going to pay me under the table? Now it's all in the up and up. It's how much am I getting paid to your school?
I think the difference now is the school is not going to be paying them those appearance fees. That's right. All private. It's not like the school is paying their star quarterback to, you know, sell their jersey. It's like the quarterback just has the ability to put that jersey on eBay. And if it goes for 10 grand, it goes for 10 grand.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And like, you know, yeah, if he's playing for Ohio State, he's probably going to get more appearance fee money than if he was playing at Illinois. But
right. I'm all for it. I'm just saying that there's definitely going to be some weird loopholes here, right? And probably going to be fallout that most of us can't see coming until it actually is in place.
Yeah.
But conceptually, I just totally agree with the idea that if you have a skill set, you should be able to profit off of your skill set, especially if you are a wanted commodity. Why are you working for free?
And keep in mind, it's not going in effect until 2023.
Right.
So there's 4 years for the NCAA and the other governing bodies, like the actual conferences, to figure this out and come to an agreement on, like, okay, this is how it's going to run. You know, the players, like, I think in the bill in California, the players don't get the money until they graduate. So,
ooh, that's kind of tricky.
Right. So, like, you can do all this stuff, but I think the money comes after you are out of school. So
wow, I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
Wow.
In case you don't know, we're talking about California's governor signed legislation that will allow the same benefits for college athletes in his state. That would be hiring agents and earning endorsements. Kentucky, Florida, and South Carolina are considering similar legislation. If it brings back NCAA college football video games, I'm in.
Hell yeah,
those were my favorite games, man.
So fun.
Build a dynasty, and I always made teams that had every one of my high school football friends from high school on it, and we were dominant.
So fun, man.
So much fun.
But back to our original point, this is a domino situation, right?
Yeah.
Because if every state in the union has this rule, but for whatever reason, like Alabama doesn't, right? The second one recruit says, well, I can't go to Alabama because I can't get paid there.
Right.
It's over. Alabama unanimously passes it.
Yeah, right.
So is all we need to see in 4 years, but unless somebody can push it through faster, is one of those situations to take place. And all of the major schools that are football schools, they just have to break. They have to crack.
Well, the NCAA's point now is like, okay, California, you can do what you want, but you're just not going to be eligible to play in March Madness or any of our, you know, bowl games, right? And
that's a bluff.
And that, I mean, what are you gonna tell the USC Trojans when they're, you know, undefeated? It's like, oh, sorry, you're just not going to be in.
Right.
Something makes me think that it's not going to happen.
Hey, what up, Mark Parrish? How the hell are you, man? Good to see you, man. Hey, Kevin.
Yeah.
How long did it take you, or maybe you're not even used to it yet, to get used to not having, when you're thirsty, people walk around and squirt Gatorade into your mouth for you. I think we ought to have Zach do that here at the radio show.
Yeah. I think so.
Just have him walk around, and if we look thirsty, just hold up a bottle of water and see if we want to squirt it into our mouth.
Or if we just see, if we're like hitting the wall a little bit.
Yeah.
Just shoot energy drinks right into our
right
face.
Right into our face, yeah.
Jesus.
Right.
So, Mark?
I was watching SportsCenter just now, and I was watching him do that to Julian Edelman. And I'm like,
I never liked that.
I would think it would be weird.
Yeah.
It's almost like a Japanese film.
Or like you're getting baby birded.
Right. Yeah, you know, I've never liked it. People do it, I think, because they don't want to get water or Gatorade on their gloves.
Sure.
But, like,
yeah,
I don't know. I got time to wash my hands off before I go back out on the field.
What's up, Mark?
Morning, guys. How are you doing?
How are you, Mark?
Good.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Good to be back.
You feeling better?
Feeling good?
I am. Thank
feeling
you
happy?
Very much.
Good,
yes,
good, good.
Yes.
Good. He died. Did you know that, Kevin?
I didn't know that.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're back.
He's back.
Thank you.
He's
yeah,
back.
Yeah. Reincarnation. I figured it out.
He got better.
Really? You'd say you're healthy and happy?
Yeah.
There's no way you're happy. You have two kids. Your wife is a disaster.
How did you know?
Brilliant.
How did you know?
That button works for more than just me.
Yeah, Sweet Tonka truck t-shirt, by the way.
That is brilliant.
Old school, baby.
Yeah,
old
school.
Sauce, get out of Fargo Flash's chair immediately.
Paris, you came back on the right day, man. Toaster strudels.
And check this out, by the way.
He knows how to win me over.
I waited just long enough.
Thanks, Flash.
Just long enough for you to be here, Mark, because listen to this. St. Cloud, man.
What happened?
More than a dozen St. Cloud students have been expelled for the school year after being involved in a fight on the Tech High School campus.
Wait.
I guess you didn't go to high school there, did you?
No, yeah. That was like Tech. That's the wrong school.
Yeah, okay. Police announced the punishment yesterday, and some, if not all, may face criminal charges. The fight broke out September 25th in a hallway between two 16-year-old boys. Additional fights started within the next 10 minutes, and about 20 police officers responded to the disturbance. How did we not hear about this till
wait,
just
wait,
now?
20 police officers responded to a high school fight?
Yeah, but they were all fighting.
Is that how far we...
There were dozens of them.
During the day?
That used to happen daily. Growing up in Minnesota.
Wow!
The police officers have to be called
yes.
now?
Man, pretty rough in Bloomington back in the 1990s.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, we
daily
didn't take
fights.
Baby blue, man.
Jeez.
It's a tough color.
It
you
is.
Got in a lot of fights, didn't you, Hogs?
Yeah.
What were you fighting about?
Rival schools taking his women.
They were trying to take our women. I was an idiot. I was bored. And I'm a little tiny wiener, and that makes you want to fight. It just does, right, Kevin?
Yeah. I don't know from personal experience, but
wow, Kevin, you're gonna take that?
Why did he bring you into this, Kevin?
He picks on me.
I mean,
but I love him.
It's
his Napoleon complex.
Yes,
amen.
It's as hockey says. It's how he hugs.
It is. It's how I hug. It's how I love you. Anyway, now that I've made the whole room uncomfortable.
Yeah, and you and I are the only two with micro penises.
Okay.
That's why I'm saying
it for you. That made it feel too real.
It did, yeah.
You guys were like laughing around and joking, and Paul just goes, but we have migraines.
Yeah,
yeah, it sounds like a medical a little bit diagnosis. Too quick there.
No, basically, it's just we have a guy who comes to our house and talks very quickly about our Johnson's.
That one's small, that one's small, that one's smaller, and over.
He doesn't get it.
No, I don't.
No, that was more of an auctioneer than the micro machines guy.
Oh, I thought we were auctioning off our micro penises.
Who would buy that?
Anyway.
One lady did.
One last story, and then we'll get right to college football talk. Police in North Carolina are looking for a burglar who stole a 12-inch sex toy.
I've done it.
Was it micro?
Hockey, is it bad that I saw that on the news and thought, Hockey's going to have that.
Yeah, this is my top story. Yeah, you're so right. Yeah, yeah. A 38-year-old woman from Brunswick County reported that someone broke into her house, took jewelry, coins, a makeup bag, an Amazon Fire Stick. No, that's not.
Hey-o.
No. And a foot-long electric vibrator wand.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wand.
You're a wizard, Harry.
Brilliant.
Thank you.
All of the missing items are valued at $450, including the $30 wand. The robbery suspect could face charges of grand larceny, as well as breaking and entering for the late night theft.
You know what I don't get? Can I just ask you guys a question?
Careful.
I don't understand the female species, never will, of course, but you guys ever been to the that Love Sack store at MOA? Like those giant,
they're
awesome
amazing.
Bean bags?
Yeah. They're amazing. Sure.
Yeah. They're amazing.
Yeah.
Right?
They're also like $1,000.
Right. I want one, though. Right? They're super comfortable. They're gigantic.
Yeah.
If I bought two of those and just said, this is like a giant rack. Look at this. I'm just going to sit at home and like toss these beanbags around.
What
and
a great idea.
Okay. But you'd say, okay, those things are like the size of a table. Those aren't realistic. If you buy a 12-inch toy, aren't you setting yourself up for a life of disappointment, right? These gals are basically saying, this is what I'm looking for.
Go big.
Yeah.
I mean, spend the rest of your life finding that holy grail. It ain't happening, right? Those two have micro penises, so it's not them.
Well, you go to the meetings.
I just can't believe she reported it missing.
Yeah, why would
you throw that in?
Well, because she worships it. It's legendary. It's mythical at that point.
It costs $30.
It's like get another one. Yeah, it's like the scene in the Temple of Doom where the guy comes out and they're all bowing to him. It's like that.
Yeah.
Galima.
I think Pete Bursich just found it.
Oh.
Oh, my God!
It's a Minneapolis miracle.
He'd had it for a while.
Brought to you this hour by Culligan Bottled Water.
Hey, thanks, Culligan.
Real quick, Fan 5, and we'll get into college football right after this. Go ahead,
the
buddy.
Milwaukee Brewers led 3-1 over the Nationals going into the bottom of the eighth when the closer came in, and he all hell broke loose. He got the first batter, hit the second, struck out the third batter, and then gave up a single and a walk. Meanwhile, the Brewers lost 4-3.
Mm.
The Nationals will move on to face the Dodgers on Thursday. The AL wild card game is tonight. Tampa at the Athletics. Winner goes on to face Houston at 1 on Friday. Speaking of that, Corey, did you have the bit about the guy in Houston with the bet? Did you see that?
Oh, Mattress Mack?
Yeah, a Houston furniture salesman placed a $3.5 million bet on the Astros to win the World Series. Mm. He would net $7.7 million. His company has been offering a refund on mattress-related purchases at up to $3,000. So he's basically just hedging his bet, right, Corey?
Well, again, whenever we talk about these giant bets, I just mentioned this a week or two ago, it's all relative, right? It's, did you hear somebody bet $180,000 on the Washington game? Well, how much do they have, though? Right? If Sauce bets $180,000 on a football game, I'm crapping my pants. Like, what are you doing? Right? Think about this. If Zuckerberg.
My financial advisor.
If Zuckerberg bet $180,000 on anything, it wouldn't mean anything.
No, it wouldn't mean anything.
That's almost like he wouldn't care if he wins or loses that bet. So,
but $3.5 million for a furniture owner?
My guess is that is
a lot.
Shady.
My guess is it's a big bet.
Yeah.
But he can afford it. I doubt he's worth $4.5 million, right? He must have tens of millions of dollars.
Do you think like Tom Becker Furniture World has that kind of money?
Right. Yeah. It sounds to me like the store owner's, it's a front.
Wait, his name is Tom Becker Furniture World?
A mattress company.
Jeez.
The Twins are preparing for the Yankees on Friday, and Rocco Baldelli said yesterday that he knows who the starter is, but he's keeping it to himself. Ooh. They will announce their lineup by 9 a.m. on Friday. The Vikings take on the Giants at noon. On Sunday, the Vikings are now a 5-point favorite. The Gophers take on the Illini at 2:30 on Saturday. They're 14.5-point favorites. And the Wild open their season tomorrow in Nashville.
Fargo Flash, when we return, let's talk about our 4-0 Golden Gopher football team with Justin Kanzemius and the rest of the Power Trip Morning Show after this.
The Fan.
The Fan.
I think it's called the TPlusRide.com Weather Center. That's what I was trying to say. I knew it was something like that.
Welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Wednesday at 7:25. The Fargo Flash has brought in delicious treats for us again. What are they, Fargo Flash?
Well, the hint of the flavor of these toaster strudels is warrant.
Oh, cherry pie?
Cherry pie.
Yeah!
Don't play that.
Great point.
It is a great point.
It is.
It's always good to see your face. Have you met the lovely and talented Kevin McDermott before?
I have.
We just did.
Okay, Kevin, one of my favorite schools, UCLA. It's beautiful out there.
Have you met the lovely and talented Mark Parrish before?
Oh, man.
Mark. Right, good. Justin. Good. Justin, Mark.
I'm taste testing. I'm making sure, and he's right. It's cherry pie.
Yes. Oh, good. Okay, good. Talk to me about your Golden Gopher football squad. All the doubters out there except for you and I.
Yep.
We knew it.
I'm 4-0 my picks this year.
I know.
Hey, let's specifically talk about Tanner.
Yeah.
Because when Zach Anix did beat him out, then it was, Tanner's a cute little backup, but he's not a Big Ten quarterback, maybe. I don't know where people see these things, right? Because you get a glimpse of a kid and then you just have his entire life figured out.
Doesn't pass the eye test. Yep.
Right, doesn't pass the eye test. All he does is lead him on game-winning drives, comebacks. He makes every throw when you have to make it. He is the most clutch quarterback we've seen here in a long time, right? Maybe not even skill set wise. Like we said, maybe he doesn't have all the skills.
Right.
But the dude is just a winner.
Well, I'll go figure it out this week. If you look at a 10-game stretch in the 20 years that I've been doing this program, I don't know if we'd find a team that went 8-2. So as a quarterback, the last 10 games that he has started, he is 8-2. And no bigger game for him than last Saturday at West Lafayette. A kid that was in a zone, obviously great wide receiver play and creating separation, so the guys were open, but he's throwing them open. So to have a kid come in.
One incompletion.
And he threw it away.
Because as soon as the ball was snapped, the defense was right in his face. So that was a quickly get rid of it kind of a situation.
Yeah, and they're in a 2-minute.
And he still almost made that completion.
He could have ate it, I thought. Because I was hoping for the record, and obviously the perfect game. But to go 21-22 for 396 yards, an all-time Big Ten completion percentage record, to actually see this kid after the game be mentioned with Jalen Hurts and all the big names of college football quarterbacks, he's right in there in terms of the play this week. And again, while this week was exceptional and elite, even if you go back over the previous 9 games, he's been really, really good, putting the ball exactly where it needed to be at the right time on critical fourth downs in week 3, critical fourth downs in week 2. And so now this program, which, again, this is a crazy stat, for the first time since 1985, it's the first time a team won the first 4 games by one possession. In 1985, Penn State did. Only 5 FBS programs in the history of college football have won their first 4 games by within one possession. So I think last week, while it was one possession, I think it was a bit more lopsided than that. I think that score is closer than the game really was. But this team is playing at a high level. It was a very good September.
I wonder if the fan base just assumed Tanner was a system quarterback. But at what point do we just have to say that he's better than that?
No, he throws the ball. He puts the ball. I think what we talked about before the season started is one of the critical things that you needed from the quarterback. And we knew at this point Zach was out. Is you just need to make sure you take care of the football. And what I mean by that is we're probably not going to pressure him for making that big play and that potential interception. But in the right situations, make the right throw. But don't try to get something that's not there. We saw in week 2, he tried to make a couple really tight throws with tight windows, and they were picked off. So I think for him, he's learned from that. So he's not throwing the bad ball. And candidly, I don't know. Did Drew Brees, if you walked up and saw Drew Brees, he's about 6 foot tall, right? So I don't know if until you saw him play football in high school and college, if you thought this is the guy who passes the eye test. But man, the accuracy that he has and the velocity that he has throwing the football, I'm not saying Tanner Morgan's in that league, but when you just, you know, just watch the footballs, man, they're right on the money. He's leading receivers, he's not throwing behind. And again, most importantly, he takes care of the football. Even the missed completion, I mean, there is guys in his face right away, does a great job and just gets rid of the football versus eating it for a 15-yard sack.
Let's hype the wide receiver group as well. In your days either playing with the Gophers or since, so let's go, what, mid-90s and beyond, last 25, 30 years, where does this wide receiver group rank?
Well, every group had a great wide receiver for the most part. Ernie Wheelwright, Eric Decker, Ron Johnson. So they had one really elite player.
Ron played for the Gophers?
He did. @3 Ron Johnson on Twitter. That's @3 Ron Johnson on Twitter.
But what they didn't have is a number two and a number three. So the depth that this team has.
What about Tutu Atwell?
Tutu is a good player, too. Actually, his son's a star wide receiver for Louisville.
Is that right?
But when you think of having a defense have to prepare for Tyler Johnson, probably a second, third-round draft pick next spring in the NFL draft, and then you think of Rashad Bateman, only a sophomore, but might even be better than the senior, and then Chris Ottman, Demetrius Douglas, a pretty good tight end to throw in the mix, the balance that they force when you defend that passing game, you can't bracket those receivers. The minute you put a safety in bracket Tyler Johnson on the left, Rashad would get you on the right. And so in my time, I haven't seen a group this deep. And candidly, when you look at the Big Ten and you think of like the Ohio States and maybe even like Michigan and even Penn State right now at a high level, those groups are really good. Minnesota's right with those groups in terms of the talented wide receiver.
Fargo, I'm not talking about me, but what do you say to some of the negative people who say that this team's 4-0, but they're not ranked? There are a lot of teams that are undefeated that are ranked. Why is this team not ranked?
Probably the way they finish these games. I think if you finish these games with, you know, if I think that game last week's a 21-point victory. You mess around in the fourth quarter, you let them go on a 99-yard drive where they complete, I think, three or four third downs and fourth down conversions. If your defense gets off the field and puts up 21, I think you feel better about that game, especially given the fact that Rondale Moore went out early in that game with an injury, as did their quarterback. If you put away those first three non-conference games in better fashion, but it's also the strength of schedule. Purdue's kind of coming out of the box slow this year. This is the month, right? So when we sat down 5 weeks ago to break this thing down, we talked about the run to the college football playoffs. It started with a strong September, and we all said in October that schedule is favorable. Well, right now, that schedule is even more favorable. If you think of Illinois this week for homecoming, which we'll talk about here in a second, Nebraska a week from now, Nebraska looks weak. At Rutgers, that thing's falling apart, and then you come back and host Maryland. So for me, October looks actually a lot better than it did 5 weeks ago, but then I look ahead to November, and I watch Penn State absolutely crush a team last Friday night on TV. I think of going to Iowa City, and I think Iowa might be the best team right now in the Big Ten, not just the Big Ten West, probably challenging Ohio State. And then I think of going at Northwestern, probably playing down, but I never bet against smart kids. And then finally Wisconsin to finish up on Thanksgiving weekend. That November actually got much, much tougher than we talked about 5 weeks ago.
Is the other thing, Fargo, and I've heard the Olsen brothers say this and a couple of former Gophers that I know, it's tough to play at Northwestern because there's no vibe.
So boring.
It's just boring. There's no vibe. There's no pomp and circumstance. It's just football.
They're all studying.
Yeah.
They don't go to the games. They have to study on Saturdays.
And that's a huge advantage for Northwestern when you play there.
Yeah. I always loved going on the road. The one place you didn't want to go to was Evanston. And Evanston in November could be tough weather. You get that lake effect. We had a couple of those games where you actually couldn't watch the film after the game because the fog had come in. And it was so foggy between the press box and the field, you couldn't see.
Wow.
So that is the one game in November you might feel better about, but it's going to be a tough run.
All right, give it to us. Talk to us about this weekend, how we're going to win this
big
game.
Big favorites, right? Something like 14 and a half.
Yeah, the big thing this offense needs to do is find balance. You know, Thielen said it this week with the Vikings. You can't be one-dimensional and think you're going to win football games at any level. So, yes, it's great to see 21-22, but when you can only run for 92 yards and 34 carries like they did last Saturday, that's just not going to work, even in the month of October. So, offensively, this offense line has to improve. I think they will collectively as a group. Brian Callahan, I think one of the best coaches they have over there, he'll get that group shaped up in October. But offensively, they need to find more balance. No better team to find great balance against than Illinois, which is coming off of a bye week, but is a team that has struggled in this season. And then defensively, let's take a step back to a year ago. There might not be a lower moment in PJ Fleck's coaching career than last year at Illinois. Illinois with, I think, 696 yards on offense. They had a player with 13 carries for 213 yards. They fired the defensive coordinator in the locker room after the game. So to think about the lowest point, maybe in his Minnesota career for sure. So I know he says yesterday there's not a revenge factor, but if there's one team that made this program look silly in the time I've been around, it was Illinois last year. So there's a huge revenge factor, especially for this defense. If this defense did not tackle well a week ago, I think a lot of that gets cleaned up with a lot of tackling circuit this week. And so I like Minnesota 34, Illinois 14.
Yes.
Cover the spread, right, go 5-0.
All right. Yes.
Thanks, Flash.
All right, guys, we'll see you next
time. Thanks for the Toaster Strudels.
Bye.
All right, Vikings news is next with the former Viking Kevin McDermott. Mark Parrish is here. Mark Rosen should be here in a second. Tina Rage is going to come in at about 8 and give her quick Joker review. We'll see if it's on the same level as Meat Sauce. Is Jason Zucker at about 8:15. This is the Power Trip Morning Show on The Fan.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. It's your little Power Trip Morning Show. We're appreciating you being here. Cast of thousands in and out of the main studio. You know, it's the regular three of us, of course, but you've also got Mark Parrish, Mark Rosen. It's the Mark and Mark in the Morning Show.
Mark in
the
morning.
Kevin McDermott's here with me as well.
One final segment of Kevin McDermott, then he's bored of us, so he's leaving.
I miss him when he's not here.
No, I got to get the kid out of the kennel.
I understand that. You know what? They can only stay in there so long, and then they dirty on themselves. Right. Yeah, I know.
Hey. Wow, Rosie.
Yeah. Hi, Rosie.
Hi, good morning.
You made national news, man.
I did?
Yeah, yeah. I saw you all over the place, man. ESPN and Newsweek and everything.
Newsweek. How about...
your interview with Kirk
Cousins
and how you asked them the hard questions.
That's nice.
You're a journalist.
Well, it was a... talked about it yesterday morning. It was interesting interaction and between Thielen and Cousins and Carly, that's her name, right? She sits right next to me.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Her husband's going to be on the road for a long
time. Yeah, he's going to be on the phone with us here by 8:15.
Oh, I'm going to not say that to him. Yeah. She asked what the interaction was like. And I said, well, there was, to my way of looking at it, there was zero tension between the two. It was that they're going to come in the studio screaming at each other after his quote on Tuesday night. But, you know, it was different. You know, look, they're 2-2. I think... if this thing was way down the road right now, when Thielen talked about, and Kevin can speak to this better than anyone, he said, I'm anxious to get back to work today because I can tell by the body language of my teammates, we're fired up, we're ready to go, we're ready to go back to work. We got a lot ahead of us that we can take control, and it is. It's first week of October, and we're just too good of a football team to let this thing disintegrate. But having said that... it starts with the other guy in the room, Kirk Cousins. I mean, it absolutely does. In terms of he can't avoid it. He's not avoiding it. His record on primetime games, his record against winning teams, his record, fill in the blanks. It's not good. And he's not shying away from it, but that doesn't mean it's got to get better, and it's got to get better soon. Otherwise, heads are going to roll. And you can see how this thing could be on the tipping point sooner than later if they don't get it done. You got the Giants and then here at home against the Eagles. But, I mean, I should ask Kevin before he gets out of here. I mean, how important is that first day back at work after a loss like that? Can you tell by body language from your teammates, like, okay, we've got rid of that thing. We know we got a good team. We laid an egg. Let's go.
Anytime you lose, you just want to get back to work, right? I mean, the Monday after a loss, you go in, you assess the issues that you had on Sunday, and then you always tell yourself, okay, clean slate, we're starting brand new. But until you get back out on the field, it's impossible to shake the feeling entirely. Mm-hmm. And so Wednesday is really important because you're preparing for a new opponent, and it's a little bit of a reprieve from all of the second guessing and the beating yourself up. But really, it takes until Sunday and getting out there and getting a win to fully get over it.
Well, that seems to be the point, that it doesn't matter. I mean, they can talk about all those things, like, you know, we're going to get this, we're working on this. Well, those things are closed to the public, and it doesn't matter. I mean, Like, I'm looking at Paris hockey practice.
Mark, let me ask you a question, and I'm not setting you up just to say that the Wild bought you out.
I don't believe you.
I was actually laughing.
Kirk's dealing right now with I don't know how much he senses it. I can ask Rosie that in a second, but that the fan base is turning on him, right? The people that were hanging on were on the fence. Sunday pushed a lot of people over the line and was like, I'm done with Kirk. It's just not happening. This isn't the right thing. Did you ever play when you felt the fan base had turned on you based on your play? Not like your comments about the Islanders fans, but did you ever feel the fans' pressure? Think like, Mark's not good enough. We need Mark off this team.
No, actually. I only felt that from a head coach. But no, it was actually interesting as
like Abbott with you.
As Kevin was talking. The beauty about hockey is we don't have to wait a week. Like, we get right back on the ice, so we can kind of exercise. Like, if we have an off night, hopefully we play the very next night again. We don't get a week to prepare. It's much more about what we're doing on the ice, and we focus on our systems, our game. And then you move on to the next night, and then, yeah, you're going to change some systems, maybe the PK, the power play. You got to pay attention to certain players here and there. But it's what's next? What's next? So I think our fan base is a little bit more forgiving, because if we lose two or three in a row, it's not the end of the world. Like, we can go on another 10-game win streak, and everybody's going to forget that. So, like, that's I feel bad for football players, because you guys have no choice but to sit there and watch the fan bases, watch the media cover day after day, and just over analyze everything, as opposed to, we lost to Chicago last night, great, we get to go play Nashville tomorrow night, right, and somebody gets a hat trick, nobody remembers Chicago.
That makes sense. Hey, Kevin, you've been in the locker room again with a bunch of quarterbacks through high school and then college and then into the pros as well. From my little bit of experience around them, and Rosie, you've had way more than I have, but every one of them is so different. Kirk, though, seems to take losses harder than a lot of different quarterbacks I've seen. It doesn't seem to be something he can just shrug off. Would you agree with that?
You asking Kevin or me?
Kevin.
I don't know if it's that he takes losses harder. I think that, everyone publicly has a way of dealing with losses, and I think it's just Kirk really wanting to be a winner. Right. I mean, he really cares about it. And I think he is just ready to have success. And I think it's hard when you have a game that you're not happy with and you just want to move on to the next one.
And I think the thing about Sunday's game, the uniqueness of it, this is not to we know what his body of work is. When you look at his statistics, it speaks for themselves. But Sunday's game was so unique. The Vikings had two possessions offensively in the first half. That's it. The first one. That's what he apologized for. I guess that's what he's making news for, because he apologized to Thielen for overthrowing him in what was an apparent touchdown pass by a yard or two. And the second one, he threw to Diggs. Diggs fumbled, right? They were moving the ball. I mean, that's not Kirk Cousins' fault. Now, and Diggs can act the way he wants to act or react the way he wants to act. But that was it. That's the only two times the Vikings offense had the ball in the first half. And we know what happened the first play of the third quarter. Mac came around and destroyed him and fumbled the ball, and that was kind of game, set, and match. And when the Vikings did get the ball after that, it doesn't seem like they're built yet right now to come back. I mean, they're just, even when they're down by a touchdown or 10 points, and that's the thing that's so troublesome, is that they have to find what they did it in Green Bay. They were down 21-0, and they did it with the running game, basically. And that's the thing that's why I kind of go back to, okay, let's see where we go from here. It's 2-2, but yes, Kirk is acutely aware, I think, but he's also so isolated from the rest of social media and everything else. He has to, otherwise, I don't know how you get up in the morning. No, right now.
Rosie, you know this. Sometimes it's what you don't say. We haven't heard from Stefon Diggs in a week and a half.
No, we have not.
And that is a awful sign. Paris, what happens when somebody in the locker room doesn't want to speak? What's up with that?
That usually means they're stuck in their own mind and they're really, really pissed off with a teammate.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's, and look at the frustration level. You understand, if you're a wide receiver, Thielen wasn't bashful about talking about that. He says, we're always think we're open, but he says, when we're running down the field for a pass, but we don't know what's going on behind us. All we're thinking about is making sure we can beat our guy here. And then we turn around and we don't realize that, you know, the coverage caved in or what happened. There was a blitz and the quarterback's laying on his back. We just have to go back to the huddle and go from there. So, it's an orchestrated thing that has to get better. Look, the offensive line has to get appreciably better. The coaching staff has to get appreciably better. Their stubbornness with run was against that Bears team was evident early on. Like, this ain't working, kids. Figure something else out. So again, clean slate. You go with it with the Giants. You win Sunday. Take a breath. Maybe you get back into this thing. And you can't win championships in October, but you can certainly lose them. And I think this is where the Vikings are sitting right now, like a lot of teams. I mean, I don't know how the Rams gave up 55 points at home to Tampa Bay. I mean, that's a team. That's a Super Bowl team. So, I mean, you got a defense that should keep you in most games. Now it's up to the offense to get its butt out, get head out of their butts and start doing something on the road.
Yeah, thank you for your honesty.
I will say, just a win changes everything, right? I mean, Mark was saying that, you know, when you're in the NHL, a loss doesn't mean much because you're playing the next day, and a win doesn't mean much because you're playing the next day. But in the NFL, you've got so much time between games. You have so few opportunities that, you know, the stink in the locker room or on the field this week, you know, the feelings that you have, that can be all just swept under the rug with a win. And so that's always what your focus is. It's just like, get a win, feel better next week, and, you know, it'll all turn around.
But the Diggs thing is worth taking a look at, Sauce. We'll see how this thing develops, because he does, you know, wide receivers as a whole, talk about Thielen, have a, you know, there's a diva attitude. Like, they want to win, but they want their stats.
Has Diggs ever shied away from interviews before? So, like, that's a, that if he hasn't shied away before, like, there's a reason for it, and I hope it's getting taken care of behind closed doors.
Yeah.
Hmm. Can't he get fined for that?
Yeah, but yeah, I would assume he doesn't care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he drives a Rolls Royce. What does he care?
He does?
Yeah.
Sweet. Kevin, thank you for coming in your Rolls Royce.
Yeah.
Great to see you. I hope we get to see you again next Wednesday.
Well, I will be here.
Love you.
Let's take a break and go to Hy-Vee, shall we?
Yeah. Time now for the Vikings Report on The Fan, presented by Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle. Vikings fullback CJ Ham joins the power trip after this.
Fan.
Good morning, everybody. Rosie is here, as is Parrish. It's a Mark and Mark in the morning on the Power Trip Morning Show. It's Wednesday. It's 8:01. It is the 2nd of October. Good morning, Rose.
Good morning to you.
Well, what's your day look like today? Is today the PJ Fleck show?
Thanks for listening. It was yesterday.
Yesterday? Okay, good. Good. Okay, great, great.
You had Fargo Flash and you're talking about him.
So come wait on. A minute. Tuesday's on The Fan. It's Rosie in the morning with us.
Right.
Then Rosie. So Rosie with PJ Lambert. Then Rosie with PJ Fleck.
Correct.
Then Rosie with her cousin.
But we
That's
tape
a
that.
Lot of Rosie on Tuesday.
Well, we tape cousins on Monday.
With, yeah, but still,
it's still it is. For, air
bombarded
purposes.
With you on Tuesday.
I
like it.
I
a lot of Rosie.
I deflect to Mr. Grimm most of the time. I'm just there as a co-pilot. He did not die. I was with him yesterday. We had a wonderful lunch at Sensors. Thank you for asking.
Did you have waffle fries and sour cream?
No, we had. What did we have yesterday?
It's not a big deal.
It doesn't matter.
It matters to me.
Waffle fries are really good over there, though.
They are.
Really, really good. Mm. Anyway, PJ was there. Wife Heather was there, celebrating her birthday.
You're on nonstop on Tuesdays.
Nice.
We let Tina Rage talk about every 7 months on the Power Trip Morning Show. But the reason why we sent up the bat signal for her, no pun intended. Actually, that was semi-intended.
Yeah, well
Parrish and Rosie, you guys like films. Tina and Meat Sauce both saw Joker.
Oh, I saw him tweet about it last night.
And Sauce.
Did you go together?
Sauce, kind of.
We're as a group.
Okay, I mean, you didn't sit in the same row.
I'm not that
couple seats
weird.
Are.
Well, you are wet weird.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not
yes.
weird.
You uncomfortable,
I'm
not weird.
I'm to buy snacks, and Tina's like, I can buy my own snacks.
What?
Wow.
Snacks.
Okay, anyway.
Did you hear, before we get into the review, did you hear that he forgot his wallet and had to go back?
No, he didn't tell
me. Oh, yeah. Sauce? No way.
Yeah, I had to go all the way. No.
And
no,
I wasn't there?
No, I had my wallet to get in, obviously. But I got halfway home, and I go, where's my wallet? So I went all the way back in, and it's tough getting back into a theater.
You left it in the theater?
It fell out of my pocket.
Oh, my
and
God.
Because it has so much cash in it, it just slid right out. And I'm like, I went back in and it was exactly in the seat I had left it in, thanks to all the garbage someone we were with left.
Had the next movie started? Do you have to walk in there with other people?
No, there was no one in there.
Okay. That would have been really awkward.
Oh, I would have gone in. I don't care.
I know. With the person sitting there.
Excuse me.
Fondling around for your wallet.
But Sauce said earlier that he believes Joaquin Phoenix's performance in Joker is the best acting performance he's ever seen.
Well, okay. I don't really care. I'm anxious to hear what Tina has to say.
You only care because Tina's attractive. You don't care what I say because I'm hideous.
I don't care what you say because you don't like The Godfather.
You talk about
great acting performances. True. You talk about Pacino. I get it. I love Joaquin Phoenix. I'm sure I will love this movie. When you say it's the greatest acting performance of all time, I mean, you thought Bambi was like...
Well, we need perspective, though, because how do you feel about the other Batman films?
I mean, I like them. They're not, like, the greatest movies I've ever seen, but we can all agree that Dark Knight was insane. It was very good.
Thank you.
Amen.
Well, no, we can't all agree.
No, not Sauce. No.
Sauce thinks the movie sucks, but Ledger was brilliant. Yeah, but he thinks the movie was awful. What?
Oh, well, I don't agree with that.
He didn't understand.
See, that's why I needed you to come in, because we need perspective on this one. Because he says the movie's okay, but the performance is unbelievable.
No, I think that the movie is really good, but his performance is so good that, honestly, maybe it dulls down the movie. If that makes any sense. Mm-hmm.
Better or worse than Ledger, because he's claiming better.
It's better.
It's better.
It is truly one of the best performances by an actor I've ever seen.
Wow. This is an R-rated version of the Joker, correct?
Yes, it is very R-rated.
It's violent.
It's very violent.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They don't try and hide the violence.
Don't take the kiddies to this.
When did they hide the violence with Joker?
Graphic violence? They've always hidden that.
They have.
It's never been graphic.
No, it's extremely graphic.
Yeah, the moments you think the camera's gonna cut, it does not cut.
Whoa,
you see everything.
Wow,
honestly, I have the shakes talking about it.
Wow,
so I'm still affected.
They did hide the violence in the trailer, though. It doesn't look like it's a violent movie at all. I just assumed it was like the other Jokers, where it's Nicholson and Ledger and it's implied violence,
blood splatter off other people,
membrane.
Wow,
it's a lot.
Awesome.
But I'm right, Tina. It's one of the best performances of all time.
Yes, you called it the best. I don't know if I would say the best, but if he doesn't win the Oscar, and I don't even know what else would be nominated for an Oscar, but I don't know how you get better than that. Mm. It was terrifying. Did you guys watch him on Kimmel last night?
No.
No, I did not see him last night.
It's disturbing, and it's similar to the film, because there's a scene at the end of the film that it's not...
Well, he's a quirky... weird guy to begin with, so we could see how he could get into these roles. And I've loved a lot of his stuff that he's done,
but I can't ever tell.
Including Gladiator. I mean,
if he's kidding. Like, Kimmel was asking him these questions,
exactly.
And he was reacting really strongly and sometimes offended by them. And I don't know if it is.
I don't know. I mean, he was on Letterman that one time when he came on with the beard, and he was
he's
already won an Oscar. I think he's a pretty skilled thespian.
Yeah, I'm sure he is, but his family's all weird. And
Tina, And the reaction to almost everybody in the theater when you see him for the first time with his shirt off.
Yeah, it's horrific.
It's horrific.
Now, just a quick lead up to it. He plays a clown?
He plays his day job is he works for some sort of company that they outsource party clowns.
Okay. Oh, that's creepy enough as it is.
Yeah. Yep. In the 1980s Gotham.
Yep. Okay, that's what he does. So he actually does this.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like he gets dressed up at night.
You didn't tell us any of that, Sauce.
No, he just he doesn't give any.
He doesn't know. The story arc is not his wallet.
So here's the thing, though.
Good God.
I you just wanted to know about... I can't give things away.
That's not giving anything away. It's just
The part where Batman and Robin show up, that part?
Yeah, thank you, Tina Rage.
Tina, before you leave, because this is the most important thing, what's it like going out to a movie with Meat Sauce? Give us pros and cons.
It all happened pretty quickly.
Yeah, more or less horrifying as the Joker.
Yeah,
it was more difficult. I mean, they're taking this whole Joker movie theater situation very seriously.
From a
security perspective. So it took everyone 20 minutes just to get inside the theater. Hmm. There wasn't a lot of time for...
How did Paul handle that? Because he's not a patient person.
He went in before me, so luckily I didn't have to be near him.
I didn't get metal detected. The guy's like, hey, Meat Sauce, you can go in.
What?
It must be nice to be Sauce.
Oh.
Yeah. Didn't get the old wave.
Somebody just got fired.
And my pants are so tight, you're going, nah, he can't hide.
Nobody wants to see that.
Oh, good for you.
The Thank you, Tina Ray.
Thanks, Tina.
You're so welcome, guys.
Oh, what a breath of fresh air you are.
You're a breath of fresh
because,
air.
Because sauce tends to exaggerate, I don't know,
everything.
No! God! Every story he's ever told. So when he comes greatest in, he goes, this ever. Is the greatest thing ever. I'm like, okay. I believe, because other people like Mr. Z say that he's never seen an actor carry a film like right. Joaquin Phoenix yeah. carries this one. We needed a second opinion.
I, you know what, I understand and you know? I respect that, but I'm here to tell you that he is not completely wrong.
Okay. All right.
Not completely wrong, but he's still wrong, right?
A little bit.
You know, it was just a little too generalized.
Yeah, he hasn't seen context. A lot of films.
Oh, I've seen a ton of films.
Yeah, but not good R-rated. Ones.
R-rated.
And not till the end.
You ever see The French Connection with Gene Hackman? Okay, what's never that mind. About? That's what I'm saying.
Great film.
Is that the plane Kevin's mom from Home Alone needed?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Genius.
French Connection is like Emmanuel with a car chase.
Correct.
There's Swex in it?
Probably.
No.
Why did you watch it?
I was with your attorney and we were alone.
He's your attorney. Gross.
Oh, my attorney. Never mind, it's your father.
So Joker comes out Friday, right?
I think so, yeah.
It's Friday?
Yeah, or Thursday.
Thursday night.
Sasha Thursday, yeah.
Yeah, go see it.
Go see it.
All right.
Thanks, teens.
You're so welcome, everyone.
Bye, Tina.
If you invite me back, please have donuts. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, we have toaster strudels.
Yeah, toaster strudels.
Toaster strudels. Don't rage. Please.
Oh, she's walking out.
She walked out on the street.
Passed on the toaster
right
strudels.
Out.
Oh, my just gosh.
Out fast.
They've been here for an hour.
She waved as she raged up.
Yeah. There
she
that was goes. It.
We should break because when we come back, we're going to talk to the lovely and talented Jason Zucker about hockey.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Rosie. They start tomorrow, Rosie.
I know. I'm excited for him.
All right, sounds Jason like Zucker it. Of the Wild is next. This is the Power Trip Morning Show on the Fan.
Finally, NBA 2K20 is out. Year after year, this proves to be the best NBA video game of all time, and you can win yours for your console now by registering at KFAN.com, keyword contest.
How long are you going to talk?
10 years.
But yeah, I'll be playing Wombo today, by the way, playing some video games
what
today.
Are you playing, babe?
I think I might do some Whips and Messies.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, I might do that.
Hey, do we care what Ryan Donaldson thinks about anything or not? Yes, or
I
no?
always yeah. care what Ryan Donaldson thinks.
Yeah, I don't know
yes.
if I do or not.
Yes.
Do you guys care about what Zach Halvorsen has been writing in his diary?
No.
Crickets.
You don't?
Wow.
No, of course I do.
No, hey, before you get to that real quick, I just want to just text the Donaldson.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah, the Donaldson. Sorry. The Donaldson reference wasn't just to Sauce's read.
Because
you just read.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Ryan's vibe was. Okay. This is separate. I understand the confusion.
Yeah, Ryan was sorry about that. At the movie last
Ryan was right. at the movie with you.
Yeah.
Ah.
According to Ryan Donaldson.
Can you throw me under the bus again?
Sauce and Tina undersold it. It was by far the best acting I've ever seen. They make Ledger look like the Joker from the Adam West era.
That's really? Not possible.
That's what Donaldson's saying.
It's getting 78% of Rotten Tomatoes, which is a high score. Again, it's audience. And that's fine. I mean, I'm absolutely going to go see
it. But it's what we talk about a lot with... like voting for the Hall of Fame. A lot of people just want to hate it, just to hate it.
Well, again, one of the reviews says the strenuous effort. Hang on for 1 second. Now I just lost my...
What's wrong with your iPad?
One of us.
Yeah.
Who's pitching tonight?
No, but by the way, the score of 78, Sauce, could be what you're saying, is that he is unstoppable, but the movie's just okay.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Very well said.
So
the strenuous effort of Phoenix's performance that it becomes exhausting to behold. Get a load of me, he seems to say, and get a load is almost too much to bear.
Hmm.
Wow.
I'm already thinking about the prospect of never thinking about this movie again. Those are the rare negative ones.
Yeah, see, people are buttholes.
I get it.
People are just buttholes.
Yeah. Joker's good, not great, certainly not a world-ending disaster. Best film of 2019. If Phoenix doesn't take home an Oscar, the villains will be sitting on the Academy. Okay, so it's all over the map, but mostly positive stuff. It doesn't matter. Go see it, right?
Go see it.
Yep. All right.
Man, I remember when we debated Jared Leto's Joker like this. Yeah. Remember when he...
I thought it was great.
Across the board was unanimously just
not
champion.
Across the board. There was one lump in the board.
Yeah, almost everybody hated it. Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk hockey,
you
shall
know it's
we?
No joke.
The Minnesota Wild?
That's right.
Hell yeah.
Jason Zucker joins the Power Trip Morning Show now. He starts his regular season tomorrow in Nashville with the Minnesota Wild taking on the Predators right here on the Fan. Hi, Jason.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Jason. Is it raining on the surface of the moon where you're calling from?
It is not. It looks like it's going to any minute now, but as of this second, it is not.
Are you ready
to rumble?
Do we have a boxing match? Or
no, just are you ready in general? Yeah. Do you guys feel like the Minnesota Wild and you specifically are ready for the regular season?
Yeah, I'm really excited. It's going to be awesome. I think we had a really good camp. I think all the guys are pretty jacked to get going. We had a lot of guys play really, really well in camp, so that's always a good thing, obviously. And, you know, I think there's a lot different vibe around the room and the team with Bill Guerin here, and I think that's made a big difference for us.
Jason, meet Sauce Paul Lambert. Last season didn't go anyone wanted it. It was in no playoffs. It was really not good. How do you rebound this year?
Thank you for the reminder. you know, for us, it's about it's a reset is what it is. It's last year doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter for St. Louis. It doesn't matter for anybody. You know, coming into this year, it's a fresh start. And one thing I keep trying to tell everybody that I talk to about it is, you know, even with all the stuff that happened last year, with everything was, you know, we missed the playoffs by 4 points or whatever it was at the time. So we weren't that far off. So, you know, with guys like Fiala and Donato having a full summer to train and get it.
Oops.
You know, we're expecting them to be their players and come in and play really well for us.
Jason, Marcus here. Two questions for you. First of all, is a young guy like Jordan Greenway ready to take that next step and become a force on this team? And number two, how long is this first road trip for you?
Yeah, you know what? I think Greeny is he's such a big kid. He's so strong. He's a great player, and I think this is a year that we can see him take a big step. You know, it's tough getting acclimated to a full 82-game season coming out of college like he did. So, you know, I think we can definitely see big steps from him this year. And our road trip this week is we come back Saturday night. We play Nashville tomorrow, and we fly to Colorado after that. We have a practice on Friday and then play them Saturday.
Hey, just curious. Thanks for the information.
Yeah. He's writing things down on his calendar right now. It's the weirdest thing. Jason, just Mark's got a real question about hockey for you, but just for clarification, Jason Zucker on the phone with us. What team do you play for?
Jeez.
What team do I play for?
Yeah.
I believe the Minnesota Wild.
So you still play for the Wild. Okay, cool. Good. I just wanted to make sure. I just following your wife's Twitter account, I'm not sure. She keeps trying to get you traded. I'm not sure why. She's been in Cuba. I'm not sure what's going on with that.
Yeah, you know what? I don't really know either, to be honest. So I was, I'm glad you didn't give me information I didn't know.
Yeah.
Right at that second.
So, Jason, Pear Bear here.
Oh, hey.
So I always found that each year there was always one guy that seemed to be just ready to go, whether it was a fire in his belly, whether he was just in that good of shape, whether things were just coming to him during camp, whatever it was. Is there anybody, whether it's veteran, young, whatever it is, that everybody's just kind of like, holy crap, this guy's ready to tear the walls off this place?
It's always a little different when you have new guys coming in, right? Because you don't really know what to expect from them. I think Hartman's had an unbelievable camp. That guy, he's been great. He's a guy that you feel can play, you know, if somebody gets hurt, he can play on the power play. He can be a fourth line guy. He's a fighter. He's kind of got everything, in his bag. Zuccarello is really fun to watch. I think everyone's going to really enjoy watching him. He plays the game very similar to Mikael Granlund, and, the plays he makes are pretty incredible. So that's been fun to watch. But honestly, Kevin Fiala, when he got here, everybody was like, wow. I mean, I think he lost like 20 pounds this summer. He's been flying out there. And, for me, it's been fun to, you know, playing on the line with him so far at camp, get to know him a little bit more and, you know, try to gain some chemistry with him.
And what's your line right now? What's the most likely line for tomorrow night that you're going to be a part of?
Yesterday at practice, I was with Mikko Koivu and Kevin Fiala.
All right. How'd that go?
That's too many lefties.
It's what?
Too many lefties. Gonna throw a right-hander in there.
Well, how many do we have on our team?
Good point.
Well,
you know what? The thing about it, honestly, is the nice part about having three lefties is, you know, obviously, you never have to think about, look at which hand they're at, you know, and which guy you're playing. Anytime you're playing with all lefties, you play out of the left side of the rink. And, you know, that way you're always on your one-timer sides. You can make backhand passes. When you're cycling the puck, on the other side, you're always on your forehand making plays. So it's something that when you gain chemistry that way, you know, when I played with Stahl and Granlund or Koivu and Granlund, whoever it was, it's easy to know where everybody's at and where guys want to play because you all have similar mindsets that way.
That's a great point that you bring that up because my two most successful years on Long Island, it was all righties. And it was we knew where everybody's wheelhouse was, we knew where their forehand was, we knew where their backhand was, we knew kind of where to get set up. So that's a great point. Thank you, Jason.
Absolutely. It's, you know, every once in a while we think about this game, you know?
Paris is like you and me playing Rocket League, right? It's, yeah. I have to know where you are at all times.
And you better put it in my wheelhouse because I'll probably still miss it.
Jason, good luck tomorrow night against the Nashville Predators. Good luck with 13 of your first heat, 18 on the road. That's going to be a grind. Sounds like you and Carly are going to do just fine without seeing each other for the next month. No big deal. Good luck tomorrow night, Jason. See ya.
Take care, Jason.
Thanks, guys. See you later.
Jason Zucker, the Minnesota Wild.
Well, Pear, it's going to be interesting because we get to know these guys.
Yeah.
But, I mean, some of those young players, I mentioned Greenway and Donato, we saw glimpses of them last year, but they got to grow up in a hurry.
Yes, that's the exciting slash scary part of this season because, we're going to need some young guys to step up. Greenway, I really enjoyed watching him in preseason. Mm-hmm. They put him out in some situations, a penalty kill where you wouldn't necessarily expect a young guy like him, and he played spectacular. The last preseason game, he did a great job on there. It was a 4 or 5 minute penalty kill. Was stuck out there, blocked a couple of shots with this, blocked a couple of passes that just happened to go back to Winnipeg, then blocked a shot, broke a stick, but he's in the right place at the right time. And that's what's, for me, it's fun to watch these young guys, you know, come to age. Is it going to be Greenway? Is it going to be Cunnan? Is it going to be Donato? Who's going to step up? Because, especially in the Western Conference, not just the NHL these days, is you need overachievers. St. Louis didn't go from last to winning the Stanley Cup because, yes, Ryan O'Reilly helped, but then Binnington, the goaltender, stepped up. Thomas steps up. Schwartz steps up. It's the unsung heroes. Mm-hmm. And right now, especially in the Western Conference, Minnesota's...
That's the beauty of the NHL.
Anywhere from... They could finish, you know, maybe top end fifth, but they could finish 12th too. And the thing is in the Western Conference, to understand how strong the Western Conference is that they could finish 12th and they'll have more points than a team that makes the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. That's how strong the Western Conference is. But early on, it's just fun. It's fun for me to watch the young guys step up, come into their own, become consistent day-to-day, everyday NHLers. And I really like Greenway right now. Obviously, Cunnan's right there. Donato's showed what he can do. But it'll be an exciting season to watch these kids grow. And they're going to be competitive in a very competitive Western Conference.
Well, the seasons are all colliding right now, Corey. Here we go.
The Wolves.
Pretty much.
We need the Wolves.
The Wolves aren't here yet.
We need some dunks after dark.
Dunks after
Rocket
dark.
Rocket League. Screw the Wolves. Let's do Rocket League.
What about the Wolves, Hogs?
Yeah, he doesn't care. Zach Halverson is losing sleep over the Wild season. He loves hockey. Loves White Bear Lake hockey. Loves high school hockey. He, Rosie and Parrish, if you didn't hear earlier, basically didn't sleep last night.
Because?
I don't know. Just restless.
Oh.
Worried about White Bear Lake and maybe first good attorney win.
So he started. Okay. He started.
I'm sorry, buddy. Love you.
Kind of blogging, but more so just diarying last night.
Well, that's, well, take some.
Pepto diarrhea joke.
Was that a.
So he started writing last night, and Chris, right before Zucker called, you mentioned something about his diary again. Yeah, I didn't know what you were doing.
Being who he is. He decided to do an Audible diary,
okay,
you know, because he doesn't write well, not good with typing with his hands, all the blisters and herpes sores.
Jesus, his hands?
Yeah, it's weird. So he actually, and I just happened to have a couple of versions of his diary entries.
The Diary of Zach Halverson, by Zach Halverson. Chapter 44, Free Hot Dog Bar. The sign said, Free Hot Dog Bar. I was hungry, so I decided to take advantage. Next thing you know, I'm in a gentleman's club, surrounded by scantily clad women asking if I wanted a dance. No thanks, I say, as I head to the hot dog bar. When I get there, the hot dog bartender was expecting a tip. The hot dog wasn't free. What a joke.
What just happened?
That was it.
What just happened?
So you went to the booth? They're good hot
dogs. It's interesting. I mean, a little peek inside his world. Hold on.
The Diary of Zach Halverson by Zach Halverson.
Interesting.
That's the best part.
Chapter 7. Highways. They say not to cross double white lines, but who is stopping me? If it's so important that I maintain my lane, build a damn wall. Right, Wobby?
Wow. That's a home run.
That one I liked.
I don't like that one.
All right. You guys want to do headlines when we come
Hell
back?
Yeah,
we love
man.
Headlines.
Yeah. Sound good, Parrish, or what?
Amen. Let's do it.
A bunch of nonsense. When the Power Trip Monitor returns after this on The Fan.
Minnesota Wild open the season Thursday night in Nashville as they take on the Predators. Game time 7 o'clock on Minnesota Station for Hockey. FM 100.3 KFAN. The Fan.
The Friday football feast goes down 9 to noon on Friday morning at Buffalo Wild Wings in Monticello thanks to Coors Light. Come out and see PA in charge as they broadcast live and gear up for the Giants. Win prizes from our Mall of America street team, and you can also tweet using the hashtag MVP table for your shot at the best seats in the house. Check out PA's show page for complete feast schedule or go to KFAN.com, keyword events.
Duh.
Thanks.
Corey, do you know who Pete Davidson is?
Love Pete Davidson. I think I'm going to go to his show. He's at the Varsity in what a
no
month.
No kidding.
Hmm.
Varsity, one of the hidden gems in the Twin Cities. Yeah, I say that every time we bring that theater up, but I love the Varsity Theater. But Pete Davidson's going to be there. Pete Davidson of SNL fame. You familiar?
Very familiar.
He's very funny.
Ariana very, Grande very, fame.
Correct. Yeah, he had that Ariana Grande fame.
We enjoyed the very public NHL together.
Yeah. Points. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That video's solid. He was not on the season premiere last week because he's filming the next Suicide Squad movie, so he had the night off.
Mm-hmm.
But he does Weekend Update a lot, right? Does bits three, four, under. Five yep. minute bits. Yep. Maybe you remember this one.
Here with some thoughts is Pete Davidson.
Hey, Pete. How you doing, man? Hey, Colin. So have you guys seen the R. Kelly documentary?
Yeah, Pete, I did.
Okay, now before I continue, like, this guy is a monster, and he should go to jail forever. But if you support the Catholic Church, isn't that like the same thing as being an R. Kelly fan? Like, I don't really see the difference. Only like one's music is significantly better. No, because the other day my mom was like, I'm going to mass. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go listen to the Ignition remix. Look, I'm not saying it's an easy decision. Like, I'm just saying you don't know how good someone's music really is until you find out they're a pedophile. And the reason everybody's so upset is because R. Kelly and Michael Jackson made great music. You know, if I found out Macklemore did some weird stuff, I'd be happy to free up the space on my iPhone. You know?
Wow, that's kind of genius.
Yeah.
Well, kind of genius. Got tickets to see that show November 7th. Doors open at 6 p.m. at the Varsity Theater for Pete Davidson. The 11th caller right now, 651-989-5326. 1-800-320-5326. Pete Davidson tickets to the 11th caller.
So I wonder how that works. Is that an off week for SNL? Because I wonder.
Well, it just started like with Woody Harrelson. It just had its right. debut. When is October? I'm sorry, what's the date again?
It's like November 7th.
November
that's
7th.
Right in the wheelhouse of the ratings.
The only reason why I'm asking is that's a Thursday night. Don't they rehearse and work all week? How does that work?
Yeah, but I'm sure he can.
A Thursday night? two nights
but
before
he's not
the show?
A regular. I think if he does just that one shtick.
No, he's a regular.
Yeah, but he's not. Is he doing
he's
all
another,
those?
No, he's in other sketches all the time.
Maybe they just write him out of some of that stuff. I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. I
wonder how that
what
works.
What his contract works like that. I'm sure most of them have outs like that they can go do their own gigs and come back.
It's probably like football where they get all week to work on one opponent.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now it's time for headlines.
All right, here's headlines. I just read a headline. There's no context. Very rarely do we know any more information than what I'm about to say.
Because I always say something funny.
Thank you. A runner was about to cross the finish line in a 31-mile race in Kansas on Saturday when he was struck by lightning and died.
What?
A runner was about to cross the finish line in a 31-mile race on Saturday. Hmm. In Kansas, when he was struck by lightning and died.
I got to, if there's ever an extenuating circumstance to just give the dude the belt.
Wow.
Well, like,
oh,
come
what does
on.
He care
like,
now, though?
Yeah, he's dead.
He didn't say that. He just said he got struck by lightning. Oh.
Should have stopped
well, yeah,
at 26.
What are the odds of surviving that?
I don't know. People survive it.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Great.
People who live by a coast have better overall mental health than people who don't. Says
liars.
The radio show in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Right.
Yes, yes.
Go ask the people in Seattle.
Well, yeah, but I would assume if you live by a coast, you have money.
That's
right?
Not true.
No, what does that mean?
What's the suicide rate in like Seattle, Vancouver, North?
San Francisco is one of the biggest homeless issues in the country right now. San Francisco.
Absolutely
okay,
is.
Well, didn't know I was...
Well, San Francisco was
with a bunch of city planners.
San Francisco is one of the most expensive city in the country, but yeah, it's difficult to make a living there.
A church in Florida needed to expand, so they bought a strip club, which they are going to convert into a 700-seat sanctuary.
So I know you don't have any of the other details, but I have been to a strip club.
Shocking.
Well, obviously, okay. Duh. In Wisconsin, that was on the same property as a church. It was real weird. It's the weirdest strip club experience I've ever had.
Which one is that?
I've been to a strip club with people we work with.
What Wisconsin strip club is that?
I don't know. It was in Madison, and it was super weird. We saw this. It was like this guy's birthday. And this lady came down on the pole.
Is this at the church or the strip club?
This is at
the
pole. And she landed on him like super hard, right? Mm-hmm. And he's like, he's sitting on his hands, whoa. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And she just falls on top of him. And you could tell it was like, oh my God, that hurt. So then she proceeds to take his belt off and beat him with it to the point where the manager got up on stage and is like, stop.
No, that stop. Was, you were at church.
That was definitely church.
Yeah, that was confession. Philadelphia just became the first major city to ban cashless stores.
Wait, what?
Gotta have cash.
Hmm. Ban cash.
First major city to ban cashless stores.
Hmm. So they want stores to have cash on them?
Yes.
So they can be...
No. Just... Not excluding people that don't have digital bank accounts or Apple Pay or whatever the deal is, or credit cards. So you have to accept cash.
That's like backwards.
Interesting. Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
That's more reason to hate Philadelphia.
Brotherly love.
A company is developing a self-driving garbage can that wheels itself out to the curb.
I have been so lazy every Wednesday for years. It's about time someone took care of this.
So somebody, I've seen videos of this, and this is not me saying this. I'm just reporting on what I saw. Somebody said, hey, look, Kirk Cousin highlights as the garbage can drives itself to the curb.
Oh, that's terrible. Rosie, he's talking about your friend.
Rosie, you retweeted it.
I did. Did I? I don't even know what you're talking about. I thought the one the airport,
How about that
baggage carrier that was going around and around and around, and that was insane.
Yeah,
I saw that video.
It's made a great meme. It's like
it really has. Yeah.
You've maybe seen this on Twitter or on CNN.com. It's one of the main stories right now. But a woman jumped into a lion enclosure at the Bronx Zoo in New York on Saturday and was dancing, and a zoo's A zoo spokesperson says she's lucky to be alive. So Kevin McDermott and I were talking about this off the air earlier.
Yeah, that's, I saw the video.
I'm watching the video right now, and I saw it yesterday. He mentioned that even though it's kind of hard to tell, I guess there's technically a moat in between her and the line.
I was wondering about that.
You can kind of see there's a line of, it looks like leaves or grass, right in front of her. And I guess that could be a moat, but based on this video, it looks like if the lion truly wanted to leap across that, I don't think it would be difficult.
I think pretty much the lion would.
Yeah, everyone was cheering for the lion at that point.
Come on.
Because this is not an accident. What's when someone falls you? Into, you know, we've seen those horrible stories where a kid or someone falls into a.
But do we know this is a pit? Is like this a mental health thing, or did she do this willingly?
No, well, I would. Well,
no one was arrested. We know. I read.
Yeah,
that.
I mean, it was a mental health thing. Genius. It makes a lot of sense.
Then you feel bad if she's just being dumb. Then you want her eaten.
Right.
But no pun intended. But the lion stares at her as like, if to
quizzically,
say,
"What are you doing here?
Are you dumb? I'm gonna kill you." Yeah, and then she starts dancing, and the lion's reaction is just, I'm going to give you 20 seconds to change your mind.
And that's the worst part about it, because this is the copycats after this, right? Some idiot's going to be like, oh, no, it's going to be the Tide Pod challenge all of a sudden, like jump in into a lion's den. And you're going to get eaten.
Did someone, did she
you're
leave on her own?
You're going to get eaten.
I have no idea. We don't know much. I
feel that ended. Someone grab her from the authorities.
Let the lion have her.
The lion looks at her like, Doc Holliday and Tombstone.
Like, seriously?
Really?
You want to mess with me?
Right.
Yeah.
Last but not least.
That's just my game. We have a follow-up.
Okay.
Last but not least. Maybe you heard about this story a couple days ago. We talked about this story because it's one of the weirdest stories ever. A 6-year-old Ukrainian orphan in Indiana who may actually be a 22-year-old murderous sociopathic dwarf. Do you remember the story from a couple days ago?
Can you repeat that?
All right, so here's
again,
I'll give you the gist, and then I'll give you the head.
6-year-old Ukrainian from where?
So there was a gal the other day in the news because her adopted parents basically left the country. They fled to Canada and left her, abandoned her. So they were about to get arrested, and they said, it's not what you think. She's not like 6 or 7 or 8 or 9. She's 22. She's just a dwarf, and she's a psychopath. Like, we're out of here. We're not that she's a fraud. We're out of here. So the cops are like, well, wait a minute. Now we have to investigate this, because if you're right, then you're not in trouble, I guess. The update is she's now living with a new family, and the new family believes that she is a kid.
What?
The only people that trust Ukraine is our president.
They believe she's a kid. Yeah.
How can we not get to the bottom of this?
I heard that.
Can we get to the bottom of this faster?
I would think it would be very easy to do that.
Before we keep just giving her to new families, can we figure out if she's 6 or 22?
Yeah.
Jeez.
That's pretty easy to do that.
She'll lie.
Remember, we told the story.
Ukraine. I know Russians.
The last time we told the story, Rosie, we said it was the Barnett family. And we're like, look, the Barnett's basically adopted this gal in an emergency situation, and now they're fleeing her. And we paused the story and said, how do we all feel? And Zach was the only one that was like, let's see where this plays out. Let's see how this goes. The rest of us were like, well, how can you abandon your 6-year-old or 7-year-old adopted daughter?
Yeah, right. He was right.
I'm so team Zach.
Zach's like, I want to hear their side of
the rest story.
Well, it's like that movie, The Orphan. Did anyone see that?
No.
I think it's called The Orphan.
Somebody did. I did. It was good.
You did.
I did.
It's the same
exact
concept.
Same plot, only she's older.
By the way, I saw the trailer one time before. I don't know what movie I was seeing, but I saw the trailer for that. I'm not kidding you. For about 2 weeks, I was convinced that lady was staring at me while I was sleeping.
I love
it. Honestly, based on your stories earlier and what you keep
saying, crazy.
You need help.
Yeah, you know, when you close your eyes, you can't see people staring at you.
How do you live? How do you live by yourself?
If you truly analyze what you said earlier, that you got home and your Alexa was playing iHeart, it was playing a KFN, and you heard the Ron Shapiro spot that you and I do. So you heard your voice and my voice. You could clearly hear what your voice and my voice were saying. It's not like it was, welcome home, Paul. It's me, yourself. It was a commercial.
Yeah. You recorded.
You ran back downstairs and got an ice scraper to defend against your own voice. You need help, and I'm not kidding. Last for me, and then if Chris, you have anything else, go for it. But Here's Chris Hockey's hero.
Oh. Cannot wait.
A man? Never
mind. Nope, it's a gal. This is your female spirit animal.
Oh, all right, I'll go that way too then.
There's
whatever.
A woman in Canada who bought a couch at a thrift store.
Oh, yes.
4 years ago for $25.
Ah, great deal. Okay.
After 4 years, for whatever reason, she recently went through the cushions. Like, maybe it was like, hey, some stuff's been sliding through the cracks. Maybe I should just throw
can't
the cushions
what
off
you intended.
And clean.
Right.
Let's do a deep clean on the couch. Sure. I'll vacuum it. I'll take the thing stinks. Let's take care of this.
Was Moose the cat in there?
Nope.
Jesus.
Even better.
Okay.
There was a watch. She found a watch. It was a vintage Rolex Daytona 6241 Paul Newman variant.
Holy moly.
Wow.
Only around 3,000 of them were made back in the late 1960s. Some of the hardest watches to find on the planet for sale anywhere.
Holy
so the woman calls a watch dealer and wants to get it evaluated,
sure.
Right? Give me an estimate on this thing. Mm-hmm. What's it worth? The watch dealer determined it's worth $250,000.
Wow.
Sold.
See? Sofa.
So far, interesting story, right?
Yeah, that's sweet.
Here's the end.
Tell me she's going to the casino.
No, even better.
Huge rocks.
So what's the woman planning to do with the money? She told the watch dealer she was going to buy two things. A house and a fake rack.
Yeah!
She's buying herself some new cushions.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. She said she's buying a house and getting a boob job.
Who likes to masturbate?
But she's keeping
Bruce,
the couch.
Put your
keeping
hand
the couch.
Down.
Keeping the couch, down. Putting it in a new house, and yeah. Taking a nap with a new rag.
Yeah.
Wow. Put your hand down, Rosie.
Good
understand.
Lord.
So she's ripped. She's
did.
Not homeless. And she's racked. Chris's yeah. Dream gal.
Yeah.
This is perfect.
Gone to heaven. Is there a heaven?
It's all right,
yes.
Girl.
Yes.
There is.
You're all right, girl. But what about the money?
But what about the jugs?
$250,000. What's a boob job cost? $10,000?
$10,000, yeah.
That's $240,000 to blow on other stuff.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And
if you get tired of that, just go to mychestyx.com.
Yeah, right.
Right here in Edina.
And stop by, get some Karuba coffee on the way.
And say, hey, Dolly Parton.
Rosie, we'll see you tomorrow.
I can't wait.
Parrish, we'll see you Friday for initials.
See you Friday. Number 20, here we go.
And I'll see you tomorrow night in Chaska for Coors Light.
Absolutely, we will. Teach you a little bit about hockey.
Yeah. PA, next 9 to noon. See you tomorrow. This is where the black top
ends. Listen back to today's Power Trip Morning Show or to hear previous shows, podcast us on the iHeartRadio app or KFAN.com.